Yes, you could make a big penis island. I did see in the comments this one asked. You could, but if you went online, there's a pretty good chance that people would report that.
That's funny. That's where I was born.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, where we take PC out of PC gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
And let's get right to it. So just a quick reminder, guys, we've got DLGCon happening September 24th to 28th. Come to San Diego, hang out with us, be a part of that. We're having a meeting right after the episode tonight. So links will be in the description below. We're going to switch things up a little bit, and we're going to get right into highlights. So right into the games that we have been playing. Right to the meat of the content. And I suppose we should start with Gears Tactics. So that came out recently. That is the new Gears of War game. That is a tactical turn-based game, and it is part of Xbox
Game Pass.
Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. So you can go to Steam and pay $60 for it, or if you've never signed up for Game Pass, you can pay $1 for 3 months and have it. And then after that, I believe it's $4.99. A month after that. And man, I've been screaming from the rooftops about this service. I'm trying to get everybody signed up because it's so good.
It's the best one out there.
It's the best one out there for sure. Just because the price is so low, you're not going to be blown away by the by the library, but it's good enough. And you get day one titles like this.
I don't know about that, though, because the library, I would argue, is better than a lot of other libraries, too. Not only do they have some really good games, but they don't do the thing that other Game Passes do, where it's like they give you all the same old stuff that was hot like 2-3 years ago. Gears Tactics just came out, and that's boom, right on the Game Pass.
Same thing happened with Metro Exodus. I believe they paid for exclusivity on that, but that's still on there. Ori and the Blind, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Yeah, that was day one. So just do it. And plus, it's the only place you can play Sea of Thieves, which is a good hangout
for now. It's coming out on Steam soon.
Oh, okay. I wonder what they're probably $20. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know if they announced a price point yet.
So it's a $60 game. It's an $81 on Metacritic right now. It's made by Splash Damage and The Coalition. Two developers, which I thought was odd. But that's what, maybe The Coalition, the Splash Damage is part of The Coalition, I guess. And it's a tactical turn-based, a la XCOM. I like this game a whole hell of a lot. Let me put it out there. I can definitely recommend it. And let me tell you why. There's less focus on the base building than XCOM. It's mostly just a team. You get gear from out in the field, and the story supports that too. The president or whoever he is, the leader of whoever, he tells you, I need you to go kill this one alien, and I can't send you any resources whatsoever. And you're like, fuck off. And the character is very, like, you know, that rebel. He actually had already quit, but now he has no choice kind of thing. And so you have to get all your resources and your people from the field. So the missions right now are about picking up new guys and filling out your roster. And I just did a supply mission where there's two points on the map where you hold them and you get supplies every round that you're actually holding the map, holding that sector. And so, but they're coming at you from all angles. So it moves you out of the thing. So a couple of the rounds, I missed the supplies. How much that's going to hurt me later on, I don't know. I put it on normal difficulty. It's been pretty manageable so far. Nothing's been too hard. If I failed once, I definitely got it on the second one. The graphics and the cutscenes are top notch. This is, there's a $60 game coming out of Microsoft Studio. So all of that stuff is really good. The UI is intuitive, and I'm a sucker for a good UI, and it's probably my number one pet peeve, I would say, in games. It's like, why wouldn't you just do what other people did that worked? Why do you have to try to reinvent the wheel and fuck up the entire UI, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing? It's really easy. Like, if there's new equipment for your guy, there's a little red mark. You click on him, you see where on his equipment list you need that equipment. You click on that, and then it's pretty easy. You know, you have to figure out which one the best one is for him. But I can do all my inventory management like within 2-3 minutes, and it's enjoyable. It's not just easy, it's enjoyable, you know, trying to see, oh, this person's going to need more evasion, this person's going to need more speed. So it really gets you to the fun part of inventory management faster, I think.
Yeah, inventory management is not something I feel like we need to improve upon. We've figured it out.
Yeah, like Diablo is one of the best ways that's done it. You know, that's one of the ways, the whole jigsaw puzzle thing, that was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and just, you know, when you hover over something, show the thing that's equipped. Pretty easy, right? Then you click on it if it's better.
Yep.
Let's see. I went down too much. The voice acting is great and the characters are believable. I mean, it's like the story isn't all that complex, but it's good. Like, I'm following it. Oh, that dude would be saying those things, and this guy would be saying those things. And, like, it all just kind of works. It makes sense within this world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Gears of War is kind of an over-the-top world, very theatrical to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, it just works like an 80s film, you know? And nothing. And I like it. I'm not saying, oh, it's good for an action game. No, it's good, or at least I think it's good. The main protagonist is Hispanic. I don't think he's Mexican, but that's interesting. His name's something Diaz. Gabe Diaz. Let's see. And the game rewards you to be aggressive. So, like, if you get an execution, right? So if you get if you wound one of the bad guys and you go in and you execute him, which obviously puts you in peril because you're going forward and going out of cover. Usually that leaves you out of cover. All your other guys on the map get an action point, like one action point, which is huge. Like your entire other team gets an action point. Not the guy who did the killing, but the guy who, everybody else on your team. Does that make sense? So if a guy's in a real bad spot but you have one of your other guys execute, you can go back to the guy with a bad spot and try to get him out of that mess. And there's a lot of that, man. Like, so Gabe is a support and he has a talent tree and everything and all that. So he has an ability where he can basically like give a guy props. He'll be like, yeah, man, you can do this. And then however many guys that guy kills on that round, Gabe gets action points for that, for basically just like cheering him on.
It's like playing co-op with yourself
almost. Yeah, yeah. And what's cool is it's not like Bobby goes and he finishes his turn. If you have 3 points and I have 2 points, I can spend 2 points on your turn, jump to me, do some stuff with my guy, jump back to you because it's cohesive with my guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there's like, I don't think XCOM was like that at all, right? Don't you have to finish you use all your action points per guy?
I'm pretty sure. I think so.
Overwatch is huge in this game. It's a very important mechanic, but there's also a lot of anti Overwatch type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I'm enjoying it probably better than XCOM, but it's hard to say because it's been so long since I played XCOM. But yeah, I definitely enjoy the whole, like, I only did the base part of XCOM because I had to, you know, this keeps you in the field for the most part. It's like field, little bit of inventory management, awesome cutscene, repeat. And it's great. The other thing that sets it apart is giant monsters, bosses that you fight.
Boss fights.
Yeah. Kind of like a raid in WoW is what they look like. I haven't been to one. I have put like 3 or 4 hours into this, but I haven't run into one yet. Anyway, huge recommendation for me, for sure.
Yeah, and that's one thing that they advertised about this game. They said it's going to be fast-paced. Like, it's going to be an action-packed, exciting, turn-based combat game, which is not what you think of with turn-based combat. So I'm glad that worked out for them. I was wondering how they were going to accomplish that. But I think just cutting out the base building and just really emphasizing the combat really speeds things up.
Yeah, you're like, your base is the van that all your guys are in. So right after the, you just jump in the van, you fucking pass around the new guns, and you drive to the next fucking problem, yeah. You know? Like, it all just makes sense, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's great when a game works like that. It's not working against itself.
Holy shit, must be the beginning of the month.
It is the beginning of the month, and we have got lots of subscriptions and donations and bits. All right, let's get through, guys. Thank you to Zap on Twitch, subscribing. He's got 6 months. Recycled, coming in at 21
Jeez.
Months.
Might he's got to be the top one.
He's up there. I don't know. There might be, I don't know where JP is at, but he, I don't know. Recycled might have the lead. Junksaur, coming in at name? 6 months. No, he's been around.
We haven't seen him in a bit. 6 months, right?
Yeah, he says he hasn't. You know, a lot of people are in this situation, myself included. He's talking about how he doesn't have that commute to work. That's when I listen to all my podcasts. So I'm way behind on all my podcasts. Plus, I just started listening to 2 more podcasts. So behind now. Clay is Dazed. Now, that's a new name. 6 months. 6 months sub. Okay. All right. And Pandemic Vapor, who we'll be hearing from soon. And also another Red Rum. Coming in with those 1,000 bits,
woo!
Man. Owen Sniper, 100 bits, too. Owen Controlled Pairs, who was on last week.
Killing the game over here, Bobby.
Yep.
I wish every week felt like the beginning of the month.
Yeah,
all those Twitch Prime.
Jeez, just payday. Yeah. I don't know what this new thing is happening here on the top of our stream chat, though. Some sort of hype train going on. I don't know.
Such strong. I don't know.
I don't know. New. Twitch is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. That is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about Slapshot. Slapshot is a game that just kind of came up out of nowhere, and we all started playing it on the Discord server. It is a hockey game that's very heavily physics-based. It's a lot like Rocket League. So you play these little peg characters, these little peg hockey players, and you spin your mouse or you use the analog stick on a controller to actually make them hit the puck and try to knock it in the goal. So it's very fumbly, right?
Yeah, it's a fumble core game. It's hard on purpose. Hard to control on purpose.
Yeah, very difficult, but very comical because everyone's just flying around all over the place. But I really compare it to Rocket League, except it's more akin to hockey than soccer. It's a fun game. Like, it's very fun, and it's absolutely free. It's like a low-effort Rocket League is what I want to call it. And that's not... That shouldn't be taken as critical because it's totally fine. This game is free. It's totally fine that it's a low effort Rocket League. Like it's very fun. The games go by really quick, so you can drop in, drop out. It's great when you have just a bunch of people on Discord that want to play something fun and quirky. I will tell you though, don't pick me on your team. I kind of felt bad. Some people were like picking me on the first draft, and I was like, oh man, I am a liability. I think I only scored twice throughout the entire time we were playing, and it was against my own team.
Oof.
Yeah.
You are a liability.
Yeah. If you can pick me for the other team, right? I'm not good at Rocket League. This is not the type of game that I would ever be good at, but it's totally okay to not be good at this type of game. That's not what it's about.
Yeah. And everybody's talking about other shit, you know, like nobody's really talking about the game, but everybody's having fun. I imagine everybody's smiling while they're playing this. I was. But then when something in the game happens, or if it gets tense, then everybody, whatever bullshit we were talking about immediately switches over to this, mm-hmm. and we forget whatever we were talking about. So it's just kind of like a social good time. It's a little party on ice.
Yeah, and it seems to be pretty popular right now. I mean, it came out March 8th, 2019, but a lot of people are playing. A lot of people are enjoying this. Well, 100 people are playing. I guess not a lot. I did find it funny the name of their DLC or their season pass is called the Slappy Pass. So there's a lot of cosmetics you can get in this game. I don't know why anyone would get that, but it's $10. So if you really want to support them, that's cool. Apparently, Zap was just saying in Twitch chat here, there's a sequel coming out soon called Slapshot Rebound. They've got a Steam page up.
Summer 2020. There's actually people in the stands now.
Yeah, the graphics look a little more polished. It looks like there's a different camera angle. That was a huge problem for me with this game. One small complaint about it, the camera angle is always the same. So if the puck gets knocked all the way to the other side of the rink, then you can't really see it over there. So you don't know where to go to, like what side to go to.
Well, you can see
it. You can see straight ahead. Oh, you can turn around? Press E to turn around? Okay. All right. I'm just
bad. Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I thought this was just a completely simple game. They have like a dash button that really isn't a dash. It's kind of used to change direction. I guess, to like break your momentum and dart somewhere else. But okay, maybe that's why I was playing so terribly then. I just didn't know you could turn around. I should have played the tutorial.
I didn't know either. But see, I was playing goalie the whole time, so I never had to switch, really.
Yeah. So Rebound, no price point on that yet, but it does look nicer.
Yeah, it does. You could actually see that there's wear and tear on their faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ice looks better. The graphic, it looks like a general improvement in the graphics.
That's sweet.
Cool.
So before we move on, I played this right after this, and I totally forgot until right now. I played Project Winter with probably 7 other people on the Discord. I'm not going to say too much of it because I played only once. But what it is, it's a crafting survival game with 8 players, which is kind of a hard sell, you know. Hey guys, do you want to come play with us? We don't know how long the game's going to be because it depends how fast we get the resources and whether or not the two bad people. I don't know what to call them. So out of the 8, 2 of them are basically spies or whatever you want to call them, or jerks in general. They don't want the rest of the people to survive. And so they try to fuck other people up while they are trying to get resources. Mm-hmm. So they might lie about where resources are to get somebody to walk towards a bear. They might set a trap. They might do different things. For instance, actually, I think I played 2 games. One of the games, Days, who started the game, right off the bat, like within the first few minutes, called somebody out for being the detractor. Fuck, I really wish I... What's the name of this, Days? What's the bad... What are they named, the bad people?
I'm looking for it in the description here. Yeah. And they don't seem to... You know, when I heard this game described to me, it reminded me of that tabletop game called Secret Hitler.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
I don't know. Someone tried to teach me how to play traitors. That game. Totally went over my head.
All right, so they're called traitors. So Days was like, oh my God, I just saw so-and-so... I think it was Witty. He's like, I just saw Witty killing somebody in the snow. And we're like, oh shit. So then we're all on high alert about Witty. And Witty's like, dude, I'm not the traitor. And we're like, that's exactly what the traitor would say. And we're giving him shit. And we can exile him out of the cabin, mm-hmm. which means they'll freeze to death basically eventually because they can't get food and they can't go in. And so he was having a real hard time. Turned out, yeah, Days was the fucking mastermind behind it all the whole time.
So you just have to be a good liar to win this game.
Well, we're all on Discord in one channel, which is not how it's intended to play. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things that you're supposed to get right away is the walkie-talkies. And if you craft the walkie-talkies, the traders can talk to each other. And the other people can talk to each other. So, but the traders have their own line of communication.
So communication is a mechanic in the game. And using Discord
kind of fucked it
undermines
up.
That.
Not that it wasn't fun, but I didn't play it enough to know. And then the map situation, you don't have a map. You just kind of have to, kind of like in real life, you have to set markers for yourself. Like, oh, you know, it's left from that rock or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They've played a few games and they've never survived because you're not just going against the traitors. Like the game is really hard. The environments are hard. Mm-hmm. So I think the more you play it, the better you get. But this is a good game night game for sure.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to be careful on how we set up the communication.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out how many people are playing this game right now and I'm not seeing it on the Steam page. Which is odd.
So the number's 0, Bobby.
Maybe. I mean, it does tell you how many people they estimate have bought the game, and it's quite a bit, between 200 and 500,000. It's not an expensive game. What is it, $7?
Yeah, I think $7.
$20.
Ooh, it
must have been on sale. Yeah, it was recently on sale.
Historical low right there, Steam, $7.
Yeah, $6.99. Yeah. But it is currently $20. Hmm. All right, cool. You want to talk about Streets of Rage 4?
I do.
Again, on the Xbox Game Pass?
Yep. Day one, $24.99, I think, on Steam. Or $22, because it's 10% off right now. So it's an 84 on Metacritic. although I don't know why. It's made from Sotmu Games. The best thing about this game, for sure, is the style. It's like hand-drawn art. Mm-hmm. And
there were a lot of people who didn't like that, though.
I think I'll get into that more. I think the whole selling point here was nostalgia. Because they did not do anything new. Did you play the old Streets of Rage, Bobby?
Oh yeah, loved them.
How did you use your power moves, if there was power moves?
It depends on the Streets of Rage. So in the first one, you just press a button and it the camera pans over to the left and like a cop car pulls up and like... This sounds ridiculous now that I'm saying it, but they had a rocket launcher and it just killed the bad guys there. It wasn't until 2 and then later in 3, they did the same thing, but you had like mini special moves. Like you could do combos basically. Okay. Like Axel had like forward attack. But then you would hit A and it would do like, there are two different kinds of special moves, like a stand in place one that did a special move and would attack around you. And then you could like hold it in a direction to do a different special move that was aimed in a certain direction.
Right. But do you remember how the mechanic on, because obviously the game doesn't want you to spam it over and over and over.
Oh yeah. So one of them, there was like a star system. I think 1 and maybe 2. It's really hard for me to remember. This could be totally wrong. But I think 1 and 2, definitely 1, but you had a star system. So whenever you had a star, you could use one.
Right.
Later in 3, I think maybe they had the star system, but if you didn't have a star, it would just take a big chunk of your health.
Okay.
Or maybe that's how it just worked. Like they just took a big chunk of your health.
Okay. So the way they do it here is there's a star system, which... Stars are just something you can pick up off the ground. Not very often. Stars are pretty rare. And that's like your ultra, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then your super moves, you could do at any point, but it does take a chunk of your health. But you have this green missing health. And if you just do like a couple combos, you'll get that health back. So it's kind of like a risk. You know, like, I'm going to do a super combo here, but it's going to cost me 10% of my health. As long as I don't get hit, I won't truly lose that health. I can earn it back if I just get a few punches on some guys.
Mm-hmm.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was probably the best part of the game. That the looks, and I really like the risk versus reward on using that mid-tier abilities. Besides that, there's no perks, no unlock system, no skill tree, nothing like that. Just like very old school. Even the controls were kind of sluggish, and I feel like that was not the button tapping, that was precision, but as far as like moving up and down and left to right, it was just like playing something out of the 80s, and I think they were, they did that on purpose. The music was very good at parts, but mostly just kind of forgettable, so it wasn't all that great. Let's see. Yeah, I think that was pretty much it. I mean, people are really liking it, but I feel like the people that are buying this are buying it for nostalgia and thus really enjoying it because it's a really good throwback if that's what you're looking for. But for me that have no nostalgia for this game, I mean, I played Final Fight, but I would still want unlockables. I would still want progression of some sort, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they do have unlockables. Like you can unlock the pixelated, like the old versions of the characters, just cosmetic stuff. Oh, also the playable characters you unlock after a certain point as well. Like after you accumulate so many total points, because there's a lot more different faces in this. It's not just Blaze, Axel. Oh, hey, there's Rue, the secret character you could get in, I believe, Streets of Rage 2. But yeah, from what I've heard, this game is totally appealing to... Like, they really stuck to their guns on keeping it in line with the original Streets of Rage series, just right down to the way that it handles. And really, the looks of it, the graphics are the only area where they didn't quite stick to that. And I know there's been a little bit of... some people have been a little disgruntled about that, but I don't know. Looks fine to me.
I thought it looked fantastic. We were talking about that many times. I played this with Chad, by the way, co-op. And... Really, that's the only reason we put in 4 hours. It's because it was me and Chad, you know?
Well, I heard the co-op, too, is a little messed up right now. So if you play co-op and you start it with another person, if that other person drops out, game's over.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. And he wasn't even the host.
Yeah, even if he's not the host.
Yeah. Bobby, can you restart the Steam? That we're getting some the stream. We're getting some complaints about sync or whatever.
All right, restarting the stream.
Yeah, man, there is one part I wish we could pull up. Maybe one quick Google search.
Yeah.
Streets of Rage 4, TIE Fighters. Maybe that'll bring it up.
TIE Fighters?
TIE as in Muay Thai. T-H-A-I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, not Star Wars. Although, I guess... let's see. No, there's this part where you start fighting these Thai guys, dude, and it was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, that was the best part of the game. The music was great. The introduction to the way they stand. The Muay Thai fighters fucking stole the show.
Well, they use a lot of the original characters in here. Even those little...
Oh, the bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bad guys look about all the same. You know, they got the bow
right
guys.
There. Yeah, so turn up the music and go to the beginning of this scene right here.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, I think they were going for like old school stuff.
Oh, Shiva, he was a bad guy, and you could play as him in one of the other Streets of Rage. God, I really do want this game. I love the Streets of Rage series.
I thought that whole part right here, this, the music, the look, the way the TIE fighters fight, this is... I was like, oh, maybe I have to rethink. But then this game was all, it wasn't consistently good, but there was some shining moments. This guy was tough. So I just saw a whole shit ton of characters. I guess you can unlock a bunch of characters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
The more you play, the more you unlock.
Okay.
And it looks like, I saw all the old ones in there, even Skate.
Huh.
Yeah, Max, I was always an Axel player.
Axel was pretty good. He was one of my favorites. He was my favorite in this game. Yeah. Hmm.
All right. Well, let's talk about Deep Sky Derelicts. So this is a game that we talked about. We brought it up on the Radar a while ago. I was surprised that this game came out like 2017 or something.
I originally saw it at like E3 at the PC Gamer like indie showcase. You weren't there that year, at really, really early on. But anyway, go ahead.
So it officially came out 2018, quite a while ago. And when we first looked at it, we were like, okay, this kind of looks like a Darkest Dungeon ripoff. You know, basically the same thing. You have these even the art style looked very similar with the heavy black strokes. But you send some characters out into an area, they go on a run, sometimes they make it back, sometimes they don't, they level up, you give them gear, yada, yada, yada. This game is it has some similarities to it, but it is nothing like Darkest Dungeon. And right away I figured that out. I have very mixed feelings about this game. So I am like kind of addicted to it, I keep playing it, which is unfortunate because it's actually on Emilio's account. And when we got the copy of this, we were like, he was like, hey, you're probably going to play it more. You should put it on your account. And I said, you know what? I have you added on Steam Family Share. So put it on your account. I'll just play it whenever you're not using it. Turns out Emilio's been on Steam a lot. He accidentally left Synthetic running for like a day and a half. So it's actually been difficult for me to play this game. And I've been really hooked on it, trying to get through it. But as much as I like it, as much as I enjoy it, there's some big problems with it, like some glaring issues about it that really detract from it. They don't ruin the game at all, but they do kind of detract from it. So it kind of works in the way that Darkest Dungeon does, where you have a team of guys, you send them out, although this time we're in like space apocalypse, where you're going out to these things called derelicts, which are these broken down starships or areas where you are scavenging. And the game really hinges on the scavenging part. So you are, I get you, Warconius, with that Seinfeld joke. This game is all about scavenging. So you go out, you get these items, hopefully they're good, and you add them to the gear that you have. And the way that you use the gear is you attach modifications to it, which can change the way it works or improve it, depending on how you're building your character. It also has a talent tree and everything else. The other big part of the game, not just the scavenging, is the crafting. So you can, using money, you can craft certain items. You can sacrifice items that you have to reroll stats on these items. And it handles the combat. So this is why where it really differs from Darkest Dungeon. It handles the combat with cards. So it's a card-based combat, just like Grifflin's. And that part is really lacking. Like, it doesn't... I don't know what game does it better than Grifflin's, but it doesn't do it nearly as good as that. Like, I was a little disappointed in that part. It's all pretty straightforward. I mean, you do try to figure out some synergies and stuff, but it doesn't... I don't know. That part didn't work for me as well. However, that's not its biggest problem. The biggest problem is, like most of these games, if they let you save and load, then say I am crafting something, it's all random. So you just hope you get lucky. You spend a certain amount of coin and you hope you get a good roll. If you don't, you can just reload. So it totally kills that part. Not to mention that, but when you're out there fighting, if you take on a fight and you lose and your character's gone forever, no problem. Just reload.
I mean, you could play honorably, Bobby.
Yeah, but who's going to do that, dude? Like, who's really going to do that? Like, if the game gives you the option, then it's going to, you know, you're going to take it. So, yeah, that's kind of a bummer. The other thing that really bugs me about this game, it's tough. It's like I talked about this last week. When you like a game so much, its flaws become even more problematic. They become even bigger. But the other problem that I really had with this game is it's really confusing. It's confusing in a bad way. Grifflin's, I don't know. I'm comparing it to Grifflin's so much because of the card
thing, right?
And sort of. It's a combination of a lot of different games. But the combat, the whole card-based combat, like, yeah, Grifflin's is a card-based combat, but they do it in a completely different way that's very, it's very complex, but also explained to you very clearly, and you don't feel like you're getting cheated. In this game, I don't know what's going on. It tells me, like, they've got 20% evasion. It might as well be 100 because I never hit them. 6 tries, not one hit. So there's some other mechanic that I am not seeing. You look at the character sheets of the characters that are in your roster, and it will say different stats in different areas, and it's hard to make any sense of it. Sometimes, like, I got an item that said, like, you know, +9 to this, and then -9 from that. So it's like, I don't know. It's very difficult to decipher what your odds are or what your stats are or how things even work.
Because it doesn't even feel like it's representative of what's on the
screen. It's just not explained. And yeah. I Googled this. This is not a huge game. Deep Sky Derelicts is not a huge game. So there's not a lot of material out there when you Google it. And I found some responses from the developers, and they intended for the game to be difficult. They intended it for you to play and have to find things out by trying. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's their approach to the game. That's how they wanted it to be. I can understand that. But at the same time, things happen in combat so quick that it's really hard to understand what's happening. They do have a log button, like a combat log, but it doesn't show you that much. So for instance, I've played this game well over 10 hours. There are still things I have no idea what they do.
Repulsion. That's too much.
Yeah, repulsion. What is repulsion? You know, I got like, oh, this has repulsion on
it. It's what I do. It's what I get when I put the wrong t-shirt on.
Yeah, or bonus burst hits. What's that? I mean, it sounds like you get extra attacks, but is it like a smaller attack? Because there's something else that gives you like another like small attack. So there are things I just flat out don't know what they do. And if I try to use them in combat, like, you know, things happen so fast and there's so many different stats at play that I don't know which one is actually, you know, which one is the repulsion, which one is the bonus thing.
Are you okay with just best guessing through it?
I just don't use them. I just use the stuff that I know what it does. What it is. Yeah. So it's things like that that really bugged me about the game, because it's Grifflin's made this very complex system of this card-based combat, but every time something comes up and it says like, okay, this, you know, this is going to apply this status effect, it had a little tooltip that comes up and says, this is what the status effect is. And it's very clear. After a while, you get those memorized and you don't need to look at that, but it's very clear on the explanations. And I understand like a game wanting to be difficult in that way and just being like, you know what, part of the fun is figuring it out yourself, but it's just incoherent. It's like, it's not complex in a good way. It's incoherent.
It's hard to do any theory craft when you don't understand all of it, you know?
Yeah. Right? And there are absolutely no resources. I Googled the hell out of this. I couldn't figure out what repulsion was. I still don't know what that is. It's a mystery.
I gotta imagine it's like thorns. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. Like you reflect damage, but there's some, I mean, they have counter, they have a counter attack.
Right.
So.
Well, counter wants to say that you don't take any damage and you attack back, right?
If someone attacks you, the counter attack happens first. And then they
hit you afterwards.
Yeah. And then they get the attack in. So I don't know what repulsion does. And this is also like this lack of clarity comes down to like health bars as well. When you have your team on the left and the enemy team on the right, like you can kind of see a health meter in a little circle. The shields are a little bit harder to read too, but it's just not made clear. And that's what I find really frustrating about this game. So, just the stats. But I don't know. Aside from that, like I'm straight up addicted to this game.
Whoa.
I'm playing it. Yeah. Well, you missed the first half where I was talking about all the good parts.
Okay. Like, so can you recommend it?
It is on sale for $6.79 right now. And for that price, I can 100% recommend this game. Yeah.
And you're playing it off my account. I should say the dev sent this over. If anything ever told you guys that we don't take any money for anything, Bobby's shitting in the game for 50% of the
review. No, you totally missed the first part.
No, I said 50%. Is that good enough? I mean, 50% was negative.
No, you missed the first part.
Okay, sorry.
And I said, like, yeah, I have some things that I really don't like about this game. However, it's like I'm playing it. Like, I'm playing the hell out of it.
Like I've been really seeing you. Like, it just says Robert Digital playing nonstop, basically, the whole time I've been playing these other games.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I spend almost more of my time now, like in the base, trying to re-roll and get good stats in, you know, working on that side of it rather than going out and exploring. I don't know, not more of my time, definitely not, but a considerable amount of my time is spent in the base just trying to gear my guys, which I really do enjoy. But it's a long game. I think it's a little over 20 hours. And I'm doing a very thorough run, so it might take me even longer than that. I would like to see it through, but I don't know. I may have to move on to something else.
Pandemic says that the devs are playing live right now. That might be a good way to figure out what things actually mean.
I did. I watched. No one's streaming it on Twitch. I watched the Steam stream for a while to try to see if I could understand some stuff. Didn't really help. They aren't narrating it. And a lot of those streams that you see on Steam right now, because a lot of that's happening, a lot of those, they will tell you up at the top, pre-recorded. Mm. So I don't know if that one was. I was watching the Academia School Simulator one being streamed by a dev, and that one was pre-recorded. A lot of those things that you see on Steam right now are pre-recorded and just are looping on there. But it is a great way. I was looking for anything, man. I was just trying to do my research to figure out the mechanics of these games and get some answers because I want to explore the different character types, the different weapons. Like, I've got like a bruiser who's doing like the upfront melee damage and kind of tanking a bit. I've got a tech guy who's repairing shields and he's got robots that he throws out. And then I've got like a ranged sniper guy who also has a few melee attacks. But I want to experiment with like the repeater rifle or the scrapper or the like a medic, you know. But it's just the game doesn't push you there because you can always, if you lose a character, you just reload. And I don't know. In time, I'm sure I'll get to those parts, but it's not a necessity. And if a game doesn't make something a necessity and kind of puts it on the player for you to create your own game, then I don't know. I don't like that as much.
I feel like you're really digging these card games lately, dude. You should really play Slay the Spire. Because I really think probably. That's the bar. Maybe Grifflands is better. I don't know. But
really, Slay the Spire.
Yeah, Slay the Spire is like the quintessential RPG card game, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that I said I didn't like the cards in this so much, it's kind of rare to play more than one card per turn on your characters. Mm. They have a feature called Energize, or a status effect that if you use that, it lets you play another card. Or on my sniper, I have something where if he gets a crit, there's a 50% chance that he can play another card.
Mm. Which is super strong, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, in Grifflands, it's all about playing cards certain orders and getting all those combos down and getting really creative with that. This, just because you're not playing as many cards, there's not as much room for creativity there.
And say, in Slay the Spire, it's a deck building game, right? So I imagine all of these have deck building, right? But you're doing it kind of like on the fly. You can take cards out and thin your deck, which is what you want to do.
Yeah.
But also, when you're playing bad guys, they throw bomb cards into your deck. So the thicker
your... Grifflin's does that.
Yeah. So the thicker your deck is, it protects you against that more. The slimmer your deck, the more bomb cards you're going to get. So there's ups and downs. So anyway, and card drawing is a huge thing. Like the mage draws an extra card every turn, which is strong.
I will probably check that game out, Slay the Spire, but for some reason I have the impression that it's more on the casual side. I don't know. Am I wrong in assuming that?
Probably easy to play, difficult to master, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll check it out.
So anyway, so at the end of the day, recommended for the $7.
Yeah, it's $6.79 while it's still on sale. Totally grab this. Like it's, and it's hard to say if you liked Darkest Dungeon, pick this game up, or if you liked Grifflin's, pick this up, because it really combines a lot of different ideas here. But if you do like those strategy games and the like some card combat, then yeah, totally check
Listening to what you're saying, it sounds like they were a, if there's any bad things, it was they're a victim of trying to reach too much in too many directions.
Maybe. Well, I get the impression this is a pretty small developer. This is Snowhound Games. I've never heard of them. And just, you know, they're really involved with the community during their early access process, it seemed. But they seem like kind of a smaller group of people. So, you know, it, I mean, it's the game's impressive. It does a lot of things right. But games are hard to make, man. It's hard to make a perfect game. It's so rare.
And, you know, some people would have not even seen that as a downside, like being able to reload. Like some people would never think to reload.
Not a huge issue for some people, I guess. Me, it's mainly the clarity. The clarity is the problem for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm missing out on part of the game.
So I want to introduce our half squat correspondent, Mila, the birthday girl. Hi, Mila.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. You want to like get like look how I'm kind of touching it? Kind of like that. Be as close as you can. There you go.
Fine.
Okay, good.
There we go.
Hi. So what did we play?
We played like a Star Wars game of Lego. Star Wars game Lego.
Yeah, it was Star Wars Lego. Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, which is kind of a misnomer because it only has the first six movies. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the last three.
Well, it came out in 2009, so.
Right. But the, well, did it come out all at once? Was it one thing that all came out at once? I don't think so. I believe three games came out separately, then they put them together and put it as The Complete Saga.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you guys have all played the Lego games. We were looking for something to play together. We used to play Rayman Legends a lot, but we got to the last levels and they're just a little too hard. So I've been looking for something. So I was looking, what did we been watching together?
Star Wars a lot.
A lot, right? All of them. We're almost done with them. Yep. And, so what do you remember of the movies or what do you like about the movies?
About the movies, I like that sometimes the bad guys lose, but then they make a bigger one.
Yeah. Like, yep, there's always a bigger bad guy, huh?
Yep.
Like, first it was Darth Vader, and then it was the Emperor, and now it's Snoke. They're mean guys, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's by family.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with family, too. Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is... I don't really know.
You don't know? A lot of them? Okay. So let's talk about Lego Star Wars. Can you tell me what your favorite part was? Oh, let me show you everybody her notes real quick. So those are her rainbow notes. There you go. So what is your favorite part, Mila?
My favorite part is that...
Go ahead.
That there's always new characters each single mission and not the same places to do the missions. Like new places,
new levels.
New things.
Yeah, new things to do. Kind of like when we did the when you were racing the speed racers or the pod racers. That was completely different, right, than the rest of the game? You don't remember what I'm talking about?
Nope.
When we're racing the through the level trying to catch that guy?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, that was completely different than the other ones, right?
Yep.
And then we played R2-D2, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the old guy, Qui-Gon Jinn, the fat guy, for some reason, Guard Banaka, he's the fat guy to Chimila, I don't know why. Yeah.
I remember him being too fat.
Yeah, he wasn't fat. What else did you like, Mila?
Another thing I liked is that...
This is why we made notes. Remember your notes? Do you remember?
That you can use your characters anytime to change them if you need to.
Oh, yeah. So depending...
Oh, yeah, you can switch out the characters.
Yeah, well, if you play in free play, you can play from your entire roster of 160 characters as you unlock them. Right now, we only have like 8. But if you play in regular characters, the other characters just kind of follow you around, which cause a lot of trouble. Because sometimes they knock you off of platforms.
Yeah.
Sometimes they move ahead of you. Mm-hmm. But remember how many times we tried to jump on that thing and R2-D2, we could knock us off? Oh, and Mila, we kept just force blasting R2-D2 into a pit just so she could hear him yell over and over. So we lost all our coins.
Wow.
But it was worth the laughs, I guess.
Wait, we kill him? What?
Yeah, we lost all our coins. Yep.
So were you guys playing the first? So episode one?
Yeah, episode one.
Okay,
yeah.
So it starts with episode one.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of A New Hope before the complete saga came out. I played a little bit of New Hope and quite a bit of The Clone Wars, which is actually pretty good. It came out later and it follows kind of the storyline of the Clone Wars animated series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you watch that show, you'll see a lot of the same storylines playing out.
And what was the thing you didn't like? Do you remember?
I don't get you.
You didn't like something about the game? Do you remember?
Yeah.
About right there, kill your buddy?
Actually, if you get killed, you're actually going to lose coins.
Right. And then you can hit your buddy, right?
Yep.
And you can make your friend lose your coins.
Yep. And they can lose a heart.
Yeah, and they can lose a heart and die. It's not fun.
You only have 5 hearts in that game.
Yeah.
5 hearts.
Yeah. And then if your buddy's taking your hearts, that's not cool. Right? Yep.
And if one of them dies by your fault, maybe you're going to lose coins too.
Yeah. It's not good. That part's not good.
Nope. Not at all.
Okay. So tomorrow's May the 4th.
Yep. Right?
Which is Star Wars Day.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah. So tomorrow, the last movie comes out on Disney Plus. Also, there's going to be a documentary about the making of The Mandalorian coming out.
Mm,
and
that'll be good.
The final episode of the Clone Wars animated series, Bobby, which never got made, apparently. They made a movie to finish, wrap that up.
That's weird because they had a movie to start it, too, which a lot of people did not like.
Yeah,
it was the first
like
one to introduce Ahsoka Tano, which is a very beloved character now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it's only natural that they end with a movie. A lot of Star Wars stuff happening.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say before you go, Mila?
Nope. Get care of yourself of the virus.
Yeah. Take care of yourself for the virus. Thanks, Mila.
All right. Thank you, Mila.
You're welcome.
Later. You know the Obi-Wan series is coming out, Bobby? Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, that should be good. I remember seeing some news article about something people were upset about with it. I can't remember what it was, but...
All you people that are upset, just fuck right off. I don't care.
It's Star Wars fans. Of course they're upset.
I don't care. It's being made. Would you rather it not be made? I don't know. They take it too far, man. That's why the second movie is so bad. It's not terrible, but...
What, the second?
By the second, I mean the eighth movie.
The eighth movie.
That's the one we're on right now. and Mila's just
That's why that
interest.
Eighth movie was so bad?
Yeah, because they try to make everybody happy.
No, that was the third movie, which is actually the ninth movie, Rise of the Skywalker. That was the one that was just like fan service. That one and Attack of the Clones are the two movies in Star Wars history that are just like, okay, real bad reaction on that last one. Let's overcorrect. And people hated it. More? I don't know.
Really?
I don't know about
it. I like The Rise of the Skywalker better than...
Attack of the Clones is probably, and rightfully so, considered the worst Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Of all of them.
Although I really like that Order 39 or whatever.
66.
Or Order 66, when they called that out. I thought that whole part was really cool.
I think that was in Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Revenge of the Sith is one of the best Star Wars, in my opinion.
Order 99? Is that what it is?
Oh. No, it's definitely not 99.
Yeah, I thought it was 66.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. See, that's the thing about being a Star Wars fan these days. You have to commit yourself to an encyclopedic knowledge of complete and utter bullshit that doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Because if you get something wrong, then you're not a true fan. And there's so much to know.
Largely, these movies are for like children up through teenagers, I feel like.
There are some that I think have been a little more adult.
Revenge of the Sith, or...
Revenge of the Sith a little bit.
Yeah.
A New Hope. The original trilogy, except for maybe Return of the Jedi. They got a little cute in that one. But I think Empire and A New Hope definitely were, but also Rogue One. I feel like it's weird because it's kind of an outlier. Out of all the newer Star Wars movies...
I think Rogue One was for children?
No, not for children.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, more for an adult
audience. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the best in the series.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah. Really good.
So anyway, we had that later on, that May the Force stuff, but yeah, cool. More Star Wars stuff.
All right. So let's get to our call in here. We move this around a bit. But this week we've got Pandemic Vapor on the line. How you doing there?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the show. So now, are you a new listener? I've seen you around the Discord, but have not met you yet.
Right, yeah. I'll be a first-time listener, and I've been around the Discord for probably about a week or so. I've been playing the New World Alpha with Sniper.
Oh, cool. There's an NDA on it, but... You can at least say, are you feeling more positive or negatively towards it?
So I'm actually very impressed with the game, where it's at so far. It's got the makings of a great MMO. Obviously, it's got, you know, the standard alpha hiccups and, you know, hangups and glitches and stuff like that. But as far as the way it works out right now, it's got a very expansive map. Very artistically well done. I talked to another one of my buddies in another Discord into buying it. So
how does that work? So if you buy it early, you get into the alpha, no questions asked?
So if you buy the deluxe version on Amazon...
Which is how much?
I just bought it yesterday. It's $44, I think.
Okay.
$44, yeah. You can actually buy it on Steam, though. And it's... the same. So it depends on Amazon's going to send you to Steam anyway.
Okay. Gotcha. Interesting.
You get into your guaranteed access into the beta, which starts in June. So a month from now, the alpha ends, the beta begins August. The game is set for public release.
Okay. Do you know once they release, if there's going to be a monthly fee or is it a one-time deal?
I'm pretty sure it's pay to buy, you know.
Wow. Like
you once you pay it, you buy it.
Everybody that I've talked to is very very into this and very impressed with it.
Right. I'm very receptive. It's as far as where I can get into, it's got a very immersive crafting system. So if I, you know, it's I would say that it's definitely worth looking into. I know there's not a whole lot out there right now with, I can't stream it The my game key is actually displayed across my screen while I'm playing it, so I can't can't show it on Twitch or anything like that.
So do you stream regularly or?
Every so often. I was having problems with slobs for some reason, and I just couldn't I couldn't get it to stream right. It would crash and I'd have massive frame drop, and it was a mess.
Gotcha. So what kind of games are you in into usually?
Normally I've been playing quite a few games recently. Tarkov, Escape from Tarkov is one of them.
Yeah, we got something on the radar that's going to be something like that. You want to stay tuned for that. There's a kind of like a clone for of that.
Right. Yeah, I've actually heard about that on my other Discord. I'll leave that for you guys to, you know, break the ice on though.
Cool, cool.
But yeah, no, I've actually been pretty impressed with Battlestate Games. There we go. Been playing a lot of the new Modern Warfare. Been a big fan of that series since, you know, Big Red 1. That was the first Call of Duty game I played.
You dig in Warzone?
Yeah, Warzone's interesting. A lot of problems with hacks and cheats in Warzone. Mm. I think that's just because it's free, so anybody can play it.
Right.
You're getting a lot of people that are doing some dirty stuff in there, and console players are saying, "Nope, we don't even want to play with anyone that has a PC tag next to them." So they're turning off crossplay, and yeah, it's a mess. But I mean, I think it's fun. I mean, it's worth a lot of XP, and it helps fill up your battle pass pretty quick if you're, you know, into trying to fill that up.
Gotcha. Cool. You ready to play a game?
Yeah. Let's saw it up.
All right. So we're going to play some music for you and a sound effect for you, and then you'll get a shot at the mystery sound. So let's start out with some music. I'm going to do, since you're new around here, we'll give you an easy one.
Like, I know of this, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It seems familiar, but I can't say what it is.
Yeah, I can't even place it right now. I want to say it's like it's definitely from an MMO. That hype vibe.
No, it's not an MMO. It's actually, so last week Emilio had guessed Overwatch about some other music. This is actually the music from Overwatch.
That is one of the games I have not yet played, so.
Wow. Okay, where were you in 2016?
I was deployed to Iraq.
Oh, right. There you go.
That's a good
Bobby.
Excuse.
Why are you all up in his business, dude?
No, excuse. It's all good. It's just, you know, it's hard to, you know, I was barely even able to, you know, stream a lot of things for a couple of years while I was overseas, would have guessed Overwatch if I had played it, but I have not.
Yeah. So when you're deployed overseas, there's like zero chance of playing anything online, I'm guessing.
So I was able to play PUBG Mobile.
There we go. Yeah. Okay.
I think Mobile Game of the Year that year that it came out. So it was a pretty good game, right?
Right. It was pretty expansive. A lot of the mobile games are easy to play, but the people that you're playing with are from India.
Right.
So good luck getting a team together unless you're playing with the guy next to you.
I gotcha. That makes sense. Well, you can go on Fiverr and pay them all $5 to get top tier Indian people. All right, maybe that was racist.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I guess it depends on which way you're looking at it.
All right, so we got a sound effect here. Let's see if you can name this one. Counter-terrorists
win. Oh, Jesus Christ. Really, dude?
Really?
CSGO? Is that even a question? Yes, yes. Well, is it CSGO or is it?
It is CSGO. Wow. All right. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fitting.
Of the five times I've played that game, I'm pretty sure that's CSGO. There you go.
Yeah, even if you haven't played that game, you should know what that sound effect is. I mean, that game has been around in some shape or form for what, 20 plus years?
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've ever changed that sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't play all the iterations.
Yeah.
That reminds me a lot of like the old Soldier of Fortune video game.
Okay, I remember that.
From somewhere around about mid-2000s, mm-hmm. like 2007 or so, maybe? 8?
Yeah. No, I played the second one, not to any great extent, but that was one of those, you know, back in the day when games were coming out during that time frame, it was really easy to overlook a lot of them and just come up with these random games that nobody had ever even heard of. You know, it wasn't like we had right. Steam where everything was on there and word of mouth could really help a game. And Soldier of Fortune, I feel like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. I think it was a demo. It was a demo for Windows ME, maybe. Because I remember I didn't have to download it on anything. It had the first subway mission, and that was all you could play. But yeah, that would have been about 2000, I think.
So it came installed on the operating system?
You had a demo version of it. I don't remember how I got it. I had dial-up in 2000, so there was no way I was downloading anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of games or a lot of video cards back then would come with free games. And I'm pretty sure I got Soldier of Fortune through that. I also got Deus Ex, the first game, as a free game with a graphics card I had bought, you know, and a few other games that, you know, if they're giving the games away free with a graphics card, then they're probably not, you know, brand new top tier games, but there were still a lot of good ones in there.
I think 2000, I would have had a Dell XPS, probably something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We all had Dells back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question for you. I don't know if you know what it's like right now, what gaming's like while deployed, but like, do people have Switches? Are you allowed to have that over there, like a Nintendo Switch?
So I got out of the Army in January of 19. But I will say that.
A Game Boy Color then?
Man, I miss my color sometimes. I look back and wonder what I did without Donkey Kong and everything else.
Dude, yeah. You know, if you think about it, that for some reason that transparent purple, like Game Boy Color, was just fucking awesome. There was only one color, right? I think.
I had a solid green.
Oh, I didn't know about this. I thought it only came in a transparent.
So the Game Boy Color came in all of the colors. That's why it was color.
Oh, I had no idea. No, well, it also supported color games, though.
Right, yeah. You definitely had color games, but you had a color.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to pick the color. And it was also much smaller than the original Game Boy. The original Game Boy was like a brick.
You see that transparent purple one, Bobby?
Yeah.
That was my biggest. I didn't know they came in different colors.
I just did a Google search of that transparent one. That's pretty cool, actually.
It is pretty cool, man.
I don't remember seeing a transparent one back in, oh, man, that would have been early elementary school probably for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a Game Gear. I was playing Road Game Rash. Gear.
Wow.
Yeah. A Game Gear was like 16-bit, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember all the radiation I got from my Commodore 64. I had I still have it somewhere. I have the, a magazine that tells you how to make a video game in BASIC. And I was about 20 pages into typing up Genie in a Bottle and then the Commodore 64 fried. So,
oh man. All right, cool. You ready to make that big money, man?
All right, let's try this. I've been thinking about it here, and I think I'm about as ready as I'm going to be here.
Okay, right. So this is the first week that we have this sound effect.
First week for this sound effect.
Yes. So there's no hint, correct, Bobby?
No, not yet.
Yeah. So you go in dry, no lubed, man.
But he's already heard the sound effect, so hopefully he's thought about it a little bit. It's a tough one.
You feed it to him early. Now.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
So they can go Google it and put it on. Okay, cool.
Good luck. All right, here let's play it.
And chat, please shut the fuck up.
Oh, man. That damn chat. All right. So, yeah, I did have a chance to think about it here. No, I didn't Google anything. I didn't use SoundHound. I didn't do any backhanded shit there, all right?
Sniper says when Pac-Man eats a ghost. Could you imagine?
Pac-Man eats it. Yeah, all right. You know, coming from Sniper, that would be an interesting guess. But, man, all right. So I'm thinking that it's got quite a percussive sound here.
It's a good way to put it.
It's definitely, you know, not like 128-bit sound. So I'm thinking definitely older retro game sound of some kind. Soundbite of, maybe an older Call of Duty game, possibly a grenade going off.
Nope. Afraid not.
Couldn't be further.
Yeah, so far, so couldn't be farther from it, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's pretty far off.
Pretty far off.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's...
That's all right.
But that's, the, you know, you were the first step. People will be stepping on your shoulders to get that big, big money.
Oh, hey, that's...
this one's going to be around for a while, I got a feeling.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's definitely in there, you know, but... But to answer your question though about the gear that we can carry while we're deployed, I mean, people had Xboxes, people had, people have technology. It's, you know, it's a matter of network connection. That's the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I figured, I knew that people were doing Xbox out there and like, couch co-op, but it's like, I figure, you know, getting a TV is tough. So I figure that,
it's not as hard as you think.
Yeah.
It's just how nice you are to the guy at the bazaar. Mm. He'll get you a TV for, you know, $100 or, you know, he'll trade you something for it if you don't have $100. Mm. But it is interesting what you can get your hands on. But one thing I did want to mention about the Star Wars thing that you had just to add to the Mate of the Fourth thing in a couple of days. You don't forget about the TV series.
Which TV series?
So, and you had the Ewok Adventure films.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
So, I mean, little known.
Are those on Disney Plus? Those. The Ewok Adventure movies?
I found them somewhere a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, they're don't out know there where I have them enough.
That was really geared towards children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and there was one of those. I think how many Ewok Adventure movies were there? Two.
I want to say two.
I feel like there were two. Two. Yeah, yeah. And one of them I'm very familiar with. I remember watching it a lot, and then I didn't even find out that there was another one until, like, you know, when I was much older.
Did you watch the one with the little quick fast guy? That little quick monkey. He's white. He's super fast.
Are you talking about the holiday special, that TV one?
I don't think so. I think I'm talking about the
Ewok. I think there was like three. There was three or four TV movies that I remember.
Yeah, Caravan of Courage is not the one that I'm thinking about. I think there was another one. Or no, that is it, because I remember the little girl. That's all I remember about that movie now is that little girl with the headband.
Oh, yeah.
Caravan of Courage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was just fucking TV execs trying to squeeze whatever they could out of Star Wars. But it was more Star Wars content and people were starving for it. I don't remember it being bad.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of stuff from back in that day, too. There was the Droids animated series as well, which, looking back on it now, it doesn't really hold your attention. But back then, it was like, ooh, Star Wars in a cartoon. That's cool.
Zap says that Salacious Crumb is the best Star Wars character, but his name is Salacious B. Crumb, sir. So take that.
What I tell you about Star Wars nerds, man, it's all about those little facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
I remember reading some of the books, too. Those were fun.
Dude, I wish that they did the Timothy Zahn sequels as the last three, as opposed to what we got.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's oversimplifying it. I've heard a lot of people say that, and I don't know. I don't know if they would translate well to film. I think Star Wars works very well in text. I think there's a lot of great Star Wars books out there. I particularly enjoyed the Tales of series, Tales of the Bounty Hunters, Tales of like Mos Eisley Cantina or whatever. There are a couple of them, but they just had like, you know, short vignettes focusing on each character.
It almost seems like that's what works with Star Wars is vignettes more than the main series.
Yeah, because we've told it three times now.
Yeah.
All right, Pandemic. Well, thanks for calling in. And we, you know, better luck next time with the mystery sound. I got a feeling this one's going to be around a while, so you may get another shot at it, man.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll keep my eyes on it.
All right. Cool.
All right, Bobby.
Thanks, Emilio, homie.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Later, dude.
All right. All right. Hope to see you on New World.
All right. We'll be there.
All right. Cool, cool. Well, before we move into On the Radar, we're going to have a spotlight here with Zap. He's going to talk to us about Animal Crossing. So this game is everywhere right now. Kind of a big deal. And Zap, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I do want to say it real quick. Pandemic, I 100% know what the sound was. So probably going to try and call in next weekend.
Could you specifically say what it was? Like,
I can 100% specifically say what it was.
Okay. Like, even within the game, you can...
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
All right. Okay, maybe it's not as hard as I thought. But let's talk about Animal Crossing and why the hell is everybody playing this game?
So, Animal Crossing, I don't know how familiar you are with it. I know, Amelia, I think you said Mila and Sam had started to get into it a little bit, right?
No, it's her secret birthday present, and you just ruined that.
Well, so, I didn't know.
No, she's probably not. I don't think she's watching. I don't think.
Okay, good. But Animal Crossing is kind of a, you know how like Seinfeld is the show about nothing? Animal Crossing is essentially a game about nothing. It's exactly what you want to make of it. You essentially are this person that goes to an island. In this game, it's on a vacation getaway, and every game is a different reason why you are moving to a new island or a new city.
Given to you by the game or given to you by you choose it?
It's given to you by the game. So in the first game, I believe on the GameCube, you start the game just sitting on a train and you are just told by this person sitting across you, like, oh, where are you going? And they kind of get some information about you. You name your town, you come up with what your character looks like, and then you arrive there. And then from there, you don't have to do anything. It's essentially like if you take Stardew Valley or Minecraft or any of those games, even like Rust, with the crafting and remove all of the stakes. So you can't die, you can't lose, you can't really fuck anything up permanently. It's just a world that you can make and create and interact with however you want.
Do you think like a 7-year-old is going to be able to wrap her head around what you just said? Is there any direction at all?
There is. When you first start the game, there is like a main storyline that does carry you throughout the game. So you might have just seen in the screen there that raccoon looking guy, it's Tom Nook. He's basically the person that is quote unquote in charge of the island, and he gives you all of the quests that start you off to get started. So things like getting people to move to the island and getting shops set up and things like that. He'll give those to you, and then from there you can go and just kind of go off and do whatever you want. So it does give you some indication of things that you should do to get started, but from there you're allowed to do whatever you want. And you don't even have to do those things. If you don't want to ever upgrade your house, that's one of the big things that people like to do. You can live in a tent forever and nothing bad will happen.
Gotcha. There's no penalty.
There's no penalty at all. So the real fun and of the game is what you make of it. So like I said, there is the small narrative. The ultimate goal is trying to get this guitar playing dog named KK Slider to come visit your town to play a concert.
No,
which
of course.
Sounds ridiculous now that I say it out loud, but that's the ultimate goal. And in order to do that, you have to have a certain number of people living in your town, a separate number of shops open. And that's all you have to do if you want. You can stop there. It takes like 30 hours to get to that point if you really are playing regularly. But the beauty of the game is the fact that everything that happens in the game is happening in real time in the real world. So there's a certain number of things that you can do each day. So the big thing is like getting, when you're first starting, is getting new villagers to come to your island. And the maximum number of villagers you can get is one person per day. So they encourage you to come back every day at the beginning of the day to see what's going on with the game and what's happening on your island. There'll be different events. There'll be different characters that are visiting. And you guys can kind of see in the video the different fruits and things that are on the island. Those will only grow once per day. So as opposed to Stardew Valley, where you can just play endlessly, it really is you have an hour out of your day, maybe spend some time on the island, see what's going on, and then come back to it every day.
So that said, can you run out of things quick? What if I want to play all day? Will I just run out of shit to do?
If you want to play all day, there are these daily quests that pop up. So you get these, there's different currencies in the game. There's three main ones. The first one is going to be bells, which is just like dollars or money in any other game, or gold. The second one is Nook Miles tickets. Tom Nook has set up his own little Nook Miles rewards program, kind of like a frequent flyer rewards program. And you can go and redeem those for different things, like furniture, items for your house, clothing. But you can also redeem those for island getaways, where you can go visit other people and other islands to do little quests there. And then finally, the last kind of currency is turnips, which are actually involved in a thing called the stock market, which is spelled S-T-A-L-K,
okay.
Where you can actually invest turnips and make money. So you can stop playing basically whenever you want during the day, but you get the most Nook Miles by doing the different activities that he sets out for you each day. So at the beginning of the day, there's five activities for you to do, and they keep re-upping themselves throughout the day for you to keep doing to get more Nook Miles, to get more, you know, excursions and more clothing and more furniture.
Another thing that I saw was somebody had like made their island into a certain shape to like recreate some other island from some other genre. Do you is it randomly generated, the shape of your island, and can you terraform?
So when you start the game, I think it gives you the option of four different islands. And from what people have done from data mining, there's only a limited amount that you can start from for different configurations. But after you get to a certain point, it's actually after you get the concert to, quote unquote, end the game. You can start terraforming the island and making it into whatever you want. And that's kind of where things open up. And you start to see the creativity from the community. Pretty much anything that you can think of has been created in the game. So you can actually design artwork in the game. You can design clothing. The only thing you can't really make are actual physical items. So you can see in the videos, people go into stores and buying beds and TVs and that kind of thing. The three-dimensional items are the only items you can't make. So people get really creative with everything that they put into their islands. So I've seen online, one of my favorite ones, and it actually might pop up in this video. I don't remember if it's in this trailer. Someone made an entire stadium with a boxing ring in it. So you could go over and watch actual boxing matches in their island.
Damn. So how does Nintendo combat time to penis? Like, how are they keeping penises off t-shirts?
So it's actually like, this is one of the things that kind of sets Animal Crossing apart from a lot of other communities. And I think part of it is the fact that it is Nintendo and they're much more family oriented, is it's a very positive community that polices itself.
Okay.
There's a number of different ways to report things. People, you can actually teach islanders, people that move to your island, the NPCs, different phrases, some of which can be inappropriate. And there's multiple ways to report them. So if I go to somebody else's island, I can actually report things that are happening on their island that are inappropriate, even if somebody else made those. So it is, yes, you could make a big penis island. I did see in the comments this one asked, you could, but if you went online, there's a pretty good chance that people would report that.
It's funny. That's where I was born, actually. Now I see a very Sonic the Hedgehog looking dude. Is that just by happenstance or somebody actually crafted that guy?
So that's one of the characters. So there's two different types of characters that can live on your island. The first set is the ones that are all fixed. So those will be the merchants that come in. There's a clothing store, a general store that's run by Tom Nook's kids. You have the resident services building, which is run by Tom Nook and a dog named Isabel. And then you also have traveling merchants that come in every couple of days to buy items you can catch. So you can catch bugs, fish, and fruit, and then also pick flowers and things as well. And so you'll have special merchants that'll come in and buy those items for more than the normal value from the general store. But you can also have villagers come in and move to your island.
And those are the generated?
More random. Yeah, those are the randomly generated ones that are unique to everybody's islands. And there's actually within the community, there's a value that people will attribute to different characters. So there's a cat named Raymond. I don't know, really get why everybody's really into him, but he's a randomly generated creature. He's a cat that he can move to an island. And people just really like his personality type. Every character has their own catchphrases and things that they say. And apparently, if you can somehow get Raymond to randomly generate on your island, he can go for millions of bells in the currency. So people will come over to your island and give you millions of bells in order to ask this person to move to their island.
And what keeps you coming back, man? What are you into?
The thing that keeps me coming back is I actually have a community of people that I know in real life that started playing the game. So my fiance has actually played the game since the GameCube version, which came out in 2001. Which we have somewhere around our apartment. So she's been really into it, and I saw her actually playing Animal Crossing New Leaf, which is on the 3DS, and she put a couple hundred hours into that. And my first experience with it was with Pocket Camp, which was on mobile, which really wasn't a great game. It was just a standard mobile game trying to get you to spend more money on it. But when it first came out and the quarantine happened, it was one of the best ways for me and for us to get like any sort of social interaction. So
I see.
I have a lot of my coworkers that got the game. I know some people that went out and got Switches for the first time just so they could play the game and play with other people. My brother got into it. He's never played an Animal Crossing game either. And we actually went out and bought another Switch to play it just so we had something to do to spend time. And it's great because it's the kind of game that doesn't require any sort of time commitment. If I want to spend literally 5 minutes playing the game one day, that's enough. That's all I have to put into it. So especially when, with the quarantine and working from home, if I've got 5 minutes to kill waiting between meetings or, just finishing lunch or something, I can hop on, pick some fruit, say hi to people on my island, move some stuff around, and enjoy it for what it is. So it doesn't have to be, a marathon session. And that's kind of against the spirit of the game. There's two types of people that play the game. There's people that play the game just like I do, which is you play for a little bit each day. And then there's other people that time travel. One of the things that you can do on Nintendo consoles is you can actually set the clock forward. And so since this game works on a real-time clock, if you set the clock forward, you could do and manage to skip the time ahead and play, 4 days worth of time, quote unquote, within one day. So those people are time travelers. There's a huge controversy within the community about whether time traveling is evil or bad or whatever. And that's, some people like playing it that way just to get everything unlocked.
One could say they're Animal Crossing the Line.
They are Animal Crossing the Line.
You think I had that in my back pocket, dude? I made that up on the spot, dude.
That was pretty clever.
All right, thanks.
But it's actually, they've kind of fought back against this with this new game. This is actually the first game since, I think, the Wii in Animal Crossing that's actually been on a home console as opposed to a portable. So they don't have to put everything that's going to be in the game onto the cartridge or into the game when you download it. So previously, if you did time skipping, you could actually jump to the different holidays, which are the major events where they have special things going on in the game, kind of like MMO raid kind of stuff.
Right.
But obviously, like the most laid back version of that. But now they don't push those updates, those changes to the game until in real life it is Easter. So we just had an Easter event that went on. If you skipped ahead to Easter, nothing would have happened in your game. It just would have said the date was April, whatever. But in real life, when Easter is happening, you can get those, that update and actually experience it.
But do those guys have to time travel backwards to get that?
If you wanted to skip ahead, you could to just experience, because there's different fish and different items that are available in different seasons. So you could skip ahead all the way, for example, to December. But if you wanted to actually experience the Easter event, you would have to take your console clock and turn it back to April and to be in the time frame for the actual event.
Cool. Last question here. When you bought that extra Switch, did you pay a premium? Were you victim of the price gouging that's going on right now?
So we were actually lucky. This was right when the pandemic and lockdowns were starting. I think we got wind that it was, I live in Florida, that it was going to be starting on Monday, and it was Friday when we were out. around in shopping. And so we went out and we were actually at Sam's Club, which is kind of like Costco for those of you guys that don't know. And the way they do their electronics is they actually have you get a ticket from the kiosk where you look at it and then you take it to the register. And then after you check out, they go get it from a cage. Right. When we were there, there was no tickets for the Switches, and we heard that they weren't updating any of their inventory anymore online because of price gouging and things like that. So I ended up standing in line with at customer service with this lady that was coughing down my neck for like 45 minutes, waiting to see if they actually had any, and we found out they did. We, I think for $350, ended up getting the Switch, a case, a controller, and a couple other things in like this bundle. So we actually got lucky with that, and I actually told a couple of friends that they had a couple more Switches there, and they ended up going later that week and getting them for $300 as well.
Well, dude, I feel like this was very informative, and you're well-spoken. I still have no idea what this game's about.
So. It is about whatever. It's about hanging out and having a good time.
All right. It sounds good, man. Bob, you got any questions or comments?
I think he covered it, man. And I like the idea. This is when I was talking a couple of weeks about my girlfriend and I starting to play Stardew Valley. This is like the exact type of game I was looking for. Something that you can't lose at, you know? And I think it's important to have games like that. And I mean, obviously they're not for everybody, but I think there's a large group of people out there.
It's great for losers.
Yeah, well,
no, I'm just joking. I'm kidding.
Yeah, those and people who are just not good at video games and just that barrier to entry is pretty steep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think your lady would enjoy this?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she would. Are there cats in it?
Yeah, there's cats.
There are cats. You can have a cat move onto your island.
Yeah, you forgot when he was in the third act when he was explaining the cat and the millions of dollars it's worth, huh?
Oh wait, that's a cat that's worth.
Is the cat. Raymond is one of the cat islanders. Yeah. I think there's a total of 400 something islanders that you could have move on to your village.
Wow, I really like the Switch that's themed after this game.
That's going for about $1,000 right now on eBay.
It's nice, man. I see it. I see the value. All right, homie. Thanks for calling in, bro.
Appreciate you. And maybe I'll be calling in for that money next week.
20 bucks next week.
All right, bro. Man. Take care.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
I got to pee and make a drink, but you can talk about Papetura?
Sure. Sure, go.
What's your guess?
Papetura?
Okay.
So it's a paper game. Let me pull it up here so you can see it. Papetura is an atmospheric point-and-click adventure game handcrafted entirely out of paper. Little creatures, Pape and Tura, will face monsters that will try to burn down their beloved paper world. So this is a great idea here. It almost looks like claymation, the way that the characters move in this game. It's a point-and-click adventure. Everything's made out of paper, and somebody wants to burn it all down because that's what you do with paper, I guess. So I love the concept. I love the premise. I love the look of it. This game is slated for summer 2020. No release or no exact release date and no price yet. But, I love those point-and-click adventures. If you look at the video, I encourage you to go on Steam and just look up Papetura, Papetura, and just take a look at it. Like, it is just an incredible-looking game there. Just with the paper, the way they use lighting, looks very nice. Very nice. All right. And we should probably wait for Emilio to get back for this next one here. But I'll just talk to chat right now. We'll kill some time. See, Squadron of Idiots, I think you mean Volibians. Oh, someone already corrected him. I'm a little behind. Yes. Okay. I was correcting somebody on Back to the Future there. What you don't need to do, you only need to correct people if they get Star Wars facts wrong and type in all caps to correct them. Why am I such a relentless middleman when it comes to Star Wars? Middleman? You mean like I'm riding the fence on Star Wars? Yeah, man, because I don't really get that worked up about stuff anymore. I'm growing out the facial hair. You can see my beard. You can see all these gray hairs in there. That's wisdom. And let me give you some wisdom. There's nothing worth getting worked up over, especially with Star Wars. You just take it for what it is. I will say, though, I have been wanting to watch Star Wars again, like to go through all the movies. But what I think I'm going to do is just watch the most recent trilogy, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Revenge of the Rise of the Skywalker. I'll probably just do that. I can't go through all of them.
Yeah, it's rough, man.
I mean, we'll see. If you're expecting a whole lot out of it, from the very beginning, back in 2012, 13, 14, when they announced that Disney was going to be buying Star Wars and making more Star Wars movies, at that point, I was very skeptical. I was like, do we need more Star Wars movies? Everyone was kind of like, oh, great. You know, this, well, I don't know, not everybody, but a lot of people were excited about it. Yay, more Star Wars movies. And I really was wondering, what more do we have to tell about the Star Wars universe? Unless you're going to focus on specific characters and little side stories, you know, Han Solo backstory, Mandalorian, Rogue One, it's kind of a prequel. But like, if you try to do another space opera trilogy, we ran out of Star Wars stories in Return of the Jedi. Let's blow up another Death Star, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of where we petered out there. So I don't know, but there has been good stuff and you just kind of got to take the good with the bad, I guess, you know, and I think we're realizing that about the prequels. Now we're looking back on the prequels and being like, you know what? Like, yeah, they weren't good, but they're kind of funny, you know?
I think they're better than when the first backlash was just too much.
Yeah, there was no, that changed the course of Star Wars forever.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace. Yeah. But that was, could anything ever in the history of hypeness ever be more hyped than the Phantom Menace?
Like, Duke Nukem Forever.
No, not even close, dude. Star Wars is just universal. It covers all sorts of different mediums, you know, whether it be video games or movies or TV shows.
I was super optimistic because the Marvel games or movies had already been coming out, and that was under Disney banner, and I thought they were fantastic. I love them. They're like, mm-hmm. They can basically do no wrong except for like a few out of the 13 or 14 films that leading up to Endgame. I think like 12 of the 14 are great, like great. And so I was like, oh, they know the formula. They're going to follow the formula. And the formula wasn't followed or whatever it was. I don't know. That said, I thought Daisy, whatever her name is. I thought she was a great cast. I think she's a great
Daisy Ridley.
I think she's a fantastic actress. Boyega. I think they're good
Boyega,
too.
John yeah, Boyega. Yeah. I thought everyone was great in all those movies. I thought the acting was just fine. You know, there's a lot of cheesy, like cheeky dialogue. I didn't really care for even in Rogue One, like when they throw the bag over the blind guy's head and then he's like, ah, come on, nah. And he kind of like mugs for the camera underneath that sheet. I was like, okay, easy there, W.C. Fields.
So interesting enough, I this is the third time I wanted to say this through this episode, the Star Wars episode, I guess. Mila was most enthralled. She was most into, okay, so we watched them in order, right? 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. We're on 8.5 right now. She was most into the original three without any like coaxing or anything from me. Like it just, so I don't know if that was because she knew the backstory now and she knew these characters going into that, or they're just
so
the
you
most
started her with the prequels. Then right. You went to 4 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to touch those first three because they really ride that line between, you know, child fantasy and then also, you know, serious adulthood. It's pretty hard to top those.
And rewatching, and I still stand by this, I think Revenge of the Sith is right behind Return of the Jedi. I mean, Empire Strikes Back. I think it's the second best film.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that movie.
Empire Strikes Back? Yeah.
No, Return of the Sith.
Oh, Return of the Sith.
Yeah, I rank it second.
You know, I'm looking at this game, Pape Tura here. I'm looking at the images they have on their Steam page, and this guy is actually crafting paper there. So I don't know if he photographed this to, like, do a stop animation.
Jeez.
For the game.
But it looks like it.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
Fuck, man.
The lighting there.
Amount of
I
work.
Mean, this is just the one of those cases where the visuals alone sell you on a game. All right. Next up, big news this week. Assassin's Creed Valhalla was announced. So they teased it. Then they had a big video, kind of a teaser trailer. They talked a little bit about the game, but they didn't give you too much information.
Assassin's Creed. We know
it's Assassin's Creed. Yeah. I mean, it's changed over the years, though. It used to be a stealth game once upon a time. But it's kind of leaned more heavily into the action now. And then there's always some sort of boat aspect to it. And it looks like that's going to be returning here, too. You also build up a city. You're going to be playing as the Vikings at war with the Saxons. So you're going to be the invader on this game. But I think this is a setting that's going to sell a lot of people. A lot of people are really into this. And
it's a shock to me that they haven't visited this yet. You know what I mean?
They've got so many.
Yeah.
So many to do.
That said, the cinematic trailer, which is, you know, top of the line stuff as far as like the looks, I always look back to the one that was set in like colonial America. That was the best trailer. Like, I remember being like floored. One guy took on an entire army. Do you remember that one? And there was like an eagle. Because they could only reload every so often, so he was timing it to make sure he was behind behind something every time that they got their volley off. Anyway, I remember that like blowing me away. This one didn't really blow me away at all, although I do like the setting. And I'm watching a show right now. I'm 4 episodes deep in something called Last Kingdom, and it's exactly about this. It's about the Vikings and their interactions with the Saxons, which is basically England slash, what was the other name? I forget. But every time there's a scene, it starts with the name that they called it then, and then it kind of morphs into the current name, so you know where they're talking about. Mm-hmm. The writing is fantastic. They don't have the money of Games of Thrones, and it kind of shows. Mm-hmm. But the first season has been, really good. I really enjoy it. The Last Kingdom. If you want a preview to this game.
The Last Kingdom.
Yeah, Last Kingdom is awesome, says Discreet Creep.
Cool.
You going to play this, Bobby? Are you ready for Assassin's Creed? I feel like you're ready.
Been a while, but I don't know. These are long games. There's a lot to them. No release date on this yet. When did they say, though? They had like a general release date.
This year. Yeah, I remember that was their thing.
All right, next up on the radar, Bug Fables, The Everlasting Sapling.
So this looks like a casual RPG game, and the art looks a lot like Paper Mario. You play as 3 different insects, and it's kind of like 2.5D, I guess. You're walking around with your group. You know, your other 2 guys are walking behind you. It all looks super simple, almost like a child drew everything. But it looks good. It doesn't look bad. I wouldn't have put this up there and up on the notes based on what it looks like. But then I looked at the reviews, and it's overwhelmingly positive right now under all reviews. And they're in the 95 percentile. So there's got to be something going on here that maybe it's the writing. It looks great too, but I think to getting reviews like that, it must be a fantastic story or have a lot of interesting mechanics to it. Oh, it has some card attacks too. Maybe that's how the combat's done.
Yeah, very good reviews.
Yeah.
The land of Bulgaria is where it takes place.
Of course, dude. Where else?
Bulgaria. All right. Bug area. I get it. All right. It does look cool, though. I like the animation.
Maybe when's the last time you played like an RPG? Like, not action RPG, the straight like turn-based back and forth.
Got a lot of tactical RPGs.
Yeah.
I don't know. What even is an RPG these days? It's kind of mixed in with all these other different...
For me, it would be like a Final Fantasy. That would be like an RPG. Mm-hmm. For me.
Yeah, so you're just talking about the fighting style. The fighting combat. Style,
yeah.
The combat being the turn-based.
And the open world, and you walk around, and your guys follow you.
I played a little bit of Final Fantasy III every now and then I go back to that because I'm like maybe almost halfway through a playthrough on it, and I kind of lost steam.
Final Fantasy 15, which is the newest one, is on Xbox Game Pass as well.
But not the remake?
15, the newest game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm asking, is the remake on there? Final Fantasy 7, the remake.
Oh, that's not out yet on PC.
Oh, on PC it's no, not. Okay, no. Yeah. Remake in quotes, apparently.
Yeah, it hasn't actually even been officially announced, but it's pretty obvious it's going to happen.
For PC?
No interest in 15? It got good reviews. What's the Metacritic on Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah, the only Final Fantasy game I've ever played in my entire life was Final Fantasy 3 and maybe a little bit of 7. So, like, I'm not as big on that as a lot of other people. So, Final Fantasy 15... What is that? That's an X and a V?
Yeah.
All right.
Vikings is a good show as well. Yeah, it's actually really good. It's probably better than Last Kingdom just because of the production value. And the story is pretty good too. There is a funny one. I forget the name of it. I watched both seasons. It's on Netflix. It's kind of like spoofing Vikings. And it's so funny. But I don't know what the name of it is. 81%. Yep. I mean, that's pretty good for free on the Xbox Game Pass.
Hmm. Yeah, not bad. All right, next game is There Is No Light.
So this looks like, you know, it's multiple genres here. I think it's an action RPG where you play in a post-apocalyptic setting, maybe underground, it looks like. It's not loading for us. It's very good pixel graphics, pixel art, let's call it. But it doesn't really say exactly what it is. That's why I'm being a little bit broad. It seems like it's a Metroidvania, but the view is three-quarters view or what is that? What do you call it, Bobby? Like
isometric.
Isometric. It's like an isometric view of an action RPG. I guess it's a 6 out of 10. I didn't know that it was out on Steam. But, yeah, I thought the pixel art was really the selling point on this. No, this is not it. There Is No Light.
There the Light. There's a lot of games with a very similar name to this.
Yeah, I've actually played that game. There the Light. There Is No Light. Yeah, it's not coming up on Steam for some reason.
We've been having an issue with that. I think we need to update the browser. But here we go. Here's some video of it. Let's take a look. Okay. Yeah, a lot of really good lighting with the darkness and the shadows.
Mm-hmm. So you're underground and it's post-apocalyptic, so you have a sword. But you can see that there's just like bums underground, and that's like what the town looks like. And dashing, rolling, I don't know. More definitely on the action side. I don't see very much RPG on it. I wish I could be more specific, but it doesn't give you a whole lot. It's just basically the visuals is all you get. But the look, take a look at it. If any of this sounds even mildly interesting, you got to see it. Hmm. It looks very pretty. Very good pixel art.
Tagged as an action indie.
Yeah, doesn't give you much, right?
No.
Hyper Light Drifter is maybe the closest thing that I could say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Marauders.
So Marauders is what I was alluding to earlier when he was talking about Escape from Tarkov. But it has a few different things going for it. So it's sci-fi. It's in space. This is when genres jump to shark, right, Bobby? Mm-hmm. But no, actually, it sounds pretty cool. So you play as a Marauder. You have your own little spaceship. And you go to derelict spaceships. And you loot them. But like Tarkov, everything that happens in the game is for keeps. Anything you take in there is up for grabs. If you get killed, you lose everything you took. Everything on your ship is safe. So let's say you go to a derelict spaceship that you think has high loot. You might put your best equipment on with your best weapons. But again, you're putting that at risk. That said, you can go in, grab the best shit, and get out of there as fast as you can. Maybe if you find the best shit. But that's, mm-hmm. you know, who's to say what side of the derelict spaceship.
And this is single player or co-op?
This is Versus.
Oh, it's Versus. So there's people already on the ship that are defending it, or are there another group of people invading it as well?
So I imagine that's the only thing that's kind of like up in the air for me. How do they make the instances? How do they make people on the same derelict spacecraft at the same time? Is it just random? Maybe you're in there and randomly somebody else shows up and you fight it out. Maybe there's a NPCs in there. Tarkov has NPCs. So maybe it has the same mechanic where there's like monsters or something on the spacecraft, but you never know when they're... That's the thing about these games. There's so many questions. You don't know if there's an actual other player on the ship ever. Mm-hmm. You don't know how many there are. And I guess that's how it would be if you were like a scavenger. You would just be going through looking for things and you hear a noise at some point, you know, and you're like, what the fuck is that? So that even adds... I think in Tarkov, you know at least one other player's in the server. I think that it takes that. In this game, I feel like you're just flying around looking for shit. And
you're going to run into other people. There's not a lot of gameplay they're showing us, just a spaceship flying around. I mean, the graphics look pretty good. This looks very early in development, though. It's not Kickstarter, but they're trying to raise funds here, and it says they're 82% of the way to their milestone. And they have a roadmap. So, yeah, it seems like it's pretty early on. They also have an estimated release date of January 2022. So, going to be a while before we see this one.
Yeah.
But the inventory system looks a lot like Tarkov. Yeah, looks like there's a crafting system as well.
There's a crafting system, yeah. So, you can loot crafting materials as well. I don't think Tarkov has that. But, yeah, I like that they're adding to the whole... Hopefully we can spread this. I think it's a really good name for the genre. The play for keeps genre. Like, I think that's what it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go to play marbles for... Let me date myself. You would bring your marbles, and if you lose the game, you lose your marbles. Mm-hmm. You're playing for keeps.
Marbles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like marbles. From the 50s?
Yes, from the 50s. I'm old, right, man.
Okay. Or for you younger people, Pogs? Maybe Pogs?
Maybe Pogs.
The Slammer. Yeah, man, this looks like a cool idea, and like the visuals look good, but it looks so early that it could go either way.
I did like, so if you watch the video that's on YouTube, or I guess it'll be in the show notes because it's the direct link, right, Bobby?
The link was to a YouTube video, but the YouTube video has the link to their, it's fig.co. It looks like a Kickstarter type website where you can campaign for funding.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the YouTube video. If we could get you there, you can talk. This whole video has them talking about the developer, or the developer talking about the game, and they were talking about the art style, what they were going for and stuff. Yeah, man, it's we're taking a look at
Marauder.
Yep.
Okay. Last game we're going to bring up is Star Trek Bridge Crew. So we were talking last week about a game called Pulsar Lost Colony and also Artemis. These games that try to replicate the experience of being on the bridge of the Star Trek Enterprise, and everybody's at their station taking commands and doing their job. So, you know, you can whatever, explore, fight. Do whatever they do in Star Trek.
Let's quickly go over those games that you... Because we looked them up. So Artemis was almost like a hardcore sim. Mm-hmm. The graphics are pretty rough.
Yeah, and we had played that.
Yeah,
we realized that you, me, and Chad had played that game, and we did not like it. It was really tough to get into. The graphics were practically non-existent. It was very slow. It just wasn't really that engaging either, and it was very complicated,
much like a lot of sims are. Like each person, so there was a person on the engines, and that was the only screen they could see was the engine rooms. The guy in combat, he could only see like this rough I would say it looked like Defender or something like that. And then then there was the navigation guy, and you each saw different screens, and by being on voice comms, you're supposed to figure out how to get through it. Yeah. I'm sure if it's like something a lot of people invest in, there's probably a lot there, but it's just too hardcore off the bat. And then there's the other side of that, which was Pulsar Lost Colony. These are old games, guys. So I'm not saying go out and buy these games.
Artemis, I think, came out a few years ago, and that one is $7. It's really cheap. Pulsar Lost Colony came out in 2015. It is still in early access. There's still over 100 people playing the game, though. There's a dedicated number of people who have really enjoyed this game. And when you, Chad, and I played that game, I remember we ran into one person who was really good at it and kind of walked us through a lot of things. But what I really liked about Pulsar Lost Colony was that you can sit at your stations, do your job, choose a mission to go on with an objective. And not only that, you can wander around the spaceship. You can go into the like the bar or the restaurant. And that was always a big part of Star Trek. You know, that's where Whoopi Goldberg's character was. I think she worked at that restaurant in one of the Star Trek movies. But a lot of stuff always took place in the, you know, I guess like plot moving forward stuff.
I don't think she was a telepath. She wasn't like Deanna Troi. I think she was just like a.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen that. I think she was in what the.
Have you seen her lately, dude? Have you seen her on The View?
Whoopi Goldberg? No.
Yeah, her dreads are like white now. She has white dreads.
Yeah, well, she's old.
Yeah, it's a cool look.
But Pulsar, not only can you wander around the spaceship and just kind of participate in, you know, whatever goes on there, but you can join an away team and go down onto the planet, look for stuff. You know, you got like your little tools that you use to try to scavenge resources or find people. You know, you're playing an episode of Star Trek and then you try to make it back to the ship. Pulsar Lost Colony, for me, like showed the most potential. I really enjoyed it. It's just hard to get a team. This is a game that really requires a team to be together.
And a team of people that know how to play the game. Squadron saying that Pulsar is free. Squadron, you know more than we do, obviously. This is Duck for those on Discord. Is there a community? Do you know something that we don't?
Yeah, I don't know. It's saying $25 on the Steam page. But it's not a game you can play by yourself. Not only that, but you need people who are not going to screw around. This is not for like young kids who are like looking for headshots and, you know, kill streaks or whatever. You know, this is like a patient game. You've got to take your time with this. You've got to cooperate and you've got to be a reasonable person to be able to play this game with other people. But I'm glad that there are, when I looked earlier today, 143 people playing right now. That's enough, man. Like, that's enough. I can't remember how you get into a group or how that works, but I don't know. I would love to go back to Pulsar Lost Colony.
I mean, we both have it.
Yeah.
But then again, I am childlike. So.
But the other game that we were talking about, so.
Oh, when we were talking about these games, this is all before the show.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered that there was a VR game that was very impressive. And after a little bit of Googling, I remember a game called Bridge Crew. But I believe somehow, I could swear they did not have the Star Trek IP. Maybe they acquired the Star Trek IP, and that's where it is now. So there's a full VR game.
Now it is called Star Trek Bridge Crew. Because before, they were advertising this game as, you know, the best Star Trek game out there, but it's not really Star Trek. Because of the legal issues, they couldn't call it that. But I can't remember if that was part of their advertising campaign for Bridge Crew or if it was one of the other ones. I want to say Bridge Crew because that was the VR one.
Yeah. Okay. I feel so, like this, but
now it's straight up Star Trek. They're wearing the uniforms. You know, it's got Star Trek TM on it. So it is for sure Star Trek.
Yeah. And you can play the original game or ship or the Next Generation, which is the DLC. You can play VR or non-VR, which got us kind of excited about this. I mean, the idea of this happening, like you going out, everybody knowing their places, randomly finding a mission, going out and completing that mission in this setting, just seems pretty fucking awesome, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. If they can pull that off.
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what you're doing with Deep Rock Galactic, right? Like you're jumping into a spaceship, you're going down, you are the away team. You're not doing the part, however, where you're sitting at the consoles, having space battles, negotiating peace treaties, or, you know, all that stuff. And I think it took me a long time in my life to come around to Star Trek. I really didn't like it growing up. And it was maybe about 10 years ago, I think, where I started watching Next Gen. And then I started, and maybe about 15 years ago, I watched all the Star Trek movies. And I was like, you know what? It's slower paced. It's not Star Wars, but there's something here and I really enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much potential in that to like it, for games to be able to act out those. I think that just, it lends itself very well to games where Star Wars may be more of like an arcadey type game. Sure, you can do other genres with it, but I don't know, Star Trek, just like everything about that, like sitting at your panels, co-op, everybody's doing their part, you know, and then and maybe because it's so militaristic, I think it lends itself well to a game. And then the whole away team, like, I don't know, there's just so much potential here. And I'm glad that, you know, they're trying to make games. There's been plenty of Star Trek games out there, and most of them are not that good.
They've
been
I've making heard them since the early Star 90s. Trek Online is legit now. I've heard like it's grown into a good game.
But it's a commitment.
Right.
Like, you have to put a lot of hours. Yeah, it's an MMO and you have to put a lot of hours into it. Which, you know, a game like this might be as well, but it's still kind of a pick up and play thing. But the VR is perfect for it as well. And like the video and the pictures of it look fantastic. Like it looks like you're on the deck of the Enterprise there.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Well, are we going to try this out? Is this going to be our... So
I want to play Pulsar still.
I mean, we could do that easily.
Yeah.
But and, getting a third Captain and
Gummy
a fourth.
Has it. And shout out to Captain Gummy. He subbed too as well. He was a little late, but we want to include him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if he's got it, if you've got it, I would so it. Down. Chad has it, and he's been on lately. So yeah, I would definitely. What roles are we taking here? Who's doing what?
I have obviously I'm the captain, dude.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. Might have a mutiny on our hands. Oh boy. I remember I had like a super easy job last time, but I really enjoyed whatever role I had last time we played that.
You were in charge of phasers and what settings they were on.
No, yeah, I was like the weapons guy or something. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's what
it was something with inventory.
Or maybe I was like shields. I don't know. But it was so cool. It was kind of like what that Disneyland ride does, the Star Wars Disneyland ride, where it's like, okay, you're the gunner and you're the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember the other one because it sucks. That was the one I got stuck on.
Bobby loves when everybody has a role and somebody and they do their roles well.
That's, yeah, I love co-op, man. Like, yeah. I'm just a big fan of co-op.
That said, hopefully, Bobby, in the demo, I feel like the demo is not going to let you to play unboxed, hypercharged unboxed. I feel like the demo is not going to be able to, not going to let you do co-op. Multiplayer, yeah, co-op. Yeah. But we'll see. Well, maybe it's a time thing or whatever. I bought it. More on that next week. So far, I'm optimistic.
All right. All right, that is the last game for On the Radar here. Let's talk a little bit of news. There's not too much here, but let's get to it. The first bit of news is Jeff Keighley is hosting his own E3 replacement that will run all summer. So, E3 is not happening. It's been canceled because of COVID, obviously, like everything else. This event, though, that Jeff Keighley has been planning, Jeff Keighley, he's the guy that put together the Game Awards, big person in the gaming industry. He's been planning this, you know, even before the coronavirus happened, but because E3 is not around, it's kind of sped up the process and it's also changed it a little bit. But what he's going to be doing starting in May is just having this summer long game fest where every so often each developer or not developer, but each company is going to be showcasing their work. Now this is going to be in the form of trailers, but also playable demos. So just like when Steam had that thing where you could just for 48 hours play like a demo.
Weekends.
No, not the free weekends. They had this like, I don't know, it was like a week or maybe it was one weekend where they had all these games, like mostly indie games coming out and you could play those games.
Oh, right.
Like the
they demo. They did one recently.
Yeah, it's not too long ago. So that's kind of what they're going to be doing. And a lot of big names are involved here. This is going to be Bethesda, Blizzard, Bungie, CD Projekt Red, Bandai Namco, 2K, Activision, like Warner Bros., Steam, Square Enix, like, and Microsoft.
All these companies have that E3 budget that they're not going to spend this year. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for the marketing department's scrambling for something like this. And, you know, I give mad props to Jeff, dude. He's a mover and a hustler. Like, mm-hmm. You know how hard it is to do what he's done? That guy must work tirelessly all year just to get that little bit.
Yeah. There's been a lot of criticism of him, and yeah, there's been some like not great stuff, but
it was all in the vein of trying to get it out there.
Yeah.
I don't think this guy is like, I'm going to get rich through video game awards.
I feel like his heart is in the right place.
Right.
And he really believes in the industry. And I think, you know, I think Randy Pitchford is kind of like the
antithesis.
Not necessarily like not the complete opposite, but I feel like kind of his bad behavior recently has really kind of shown us how scummy some of these people can be. So in light of that, Jeff Keighley doesn't really look as bad. But you got to understand, like, anytime someone moves up to that kind of position, you don't get there by being like a nice, honest guy or like not being kind of like a schmoozer, you know? So like, I expect a little bit of that. But, you know, the first time I ever saw this guy, he was on like a news program. Like, I think it was like even a local news program arguing with someone who was talking about how Mass Effect was too pornographic for a video game. And he was kind of defending it and talking about how it, you know, he asked him like, have you even played the game? Do you know the story? Like, and, you know, he was defending it. So I had kind of a good impression of him from the start, but I mean, enough about his character. I feel like we talk about that too much every time the Game Awards come around, but this, game festival. So last year's Game Awards is when they did this game festival on Steam where you can play like these demo versions of all these different games. So they're going to be doing that again. It's going to be spread out over the summer, not only on Steam, but on Xbox as well. So maybe Xbox Game Pass 2, I'm not sure. But that sounds cool. It seems like these companies need a better way to promote their product rather than one big event that everybody shows up to. You know what I'm saying?
If there's a silver lining to this whole COVID thing, I feel like reassessment of business and living. Mm-hmm. Reassessment of life in general is happening.
Yeah, things are going to be different.
Yeah, things are going to be different.
Like, there's going to be some things that change because of this, and we're not going to go back to the old way.
Yeah, why would we?
Yeah. I mean, do we need, like, this huge event in Vegas every year where everybody shows up, gets sick, and sticks cameras in each other's faces talking about whatever this or whatever that, and, like, you have to meet that deadline? Or, you know, can you just wait until... Microsoft pulled out of E3 a long time ago, didn't they?
Yeah. Well... Like, I think every company, big company does, well, once they start doing their own events is when they pull out.
Yeah. They start setting their own timeline.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we don't need those as much anymore. I mean, it's nice for the community, but if you talk to anybody who works in the industry, they're sick of going to E3. Nobody looks forward to it if they've done it a couple of times.
Like within my company, which is a gigantic construction company, I'm hoping that somebody's looking at how productive it is now that there's no meetings. There's no physical meetings, right? It's all video, and even that has been cut out. So, like, meetings have been cut down by, I would say, 75%, and those that are taking place are on video. How much has that cut into the overall productivity? And I'm not saying that it's for sure better.
It depends on your business, but I can tell you, at least in my situation, it's fucking terrible, dude. Trying to teach remotely is horrible. Yeah. Trying to support people with technology remotely is horrible. Trying to have even meetings is just going through technology with adults who are, you know, semi-capable of using Zoom. It's not great. It's inefficient. Why? It takes longer to do less.
Why are people that can't operate a computer teaching our kids?
Because they're really good at teaching and they're not good at technology, man.
Are they really good or are they tenured?
Yeah, dude. No, they're just not, like, that's not their job to know how, like, a computer works, you know? Like, that's,
I guess.
That's not what they're teaching.
But these kids are going to grow up with computers.
We don't need a bunch of people who are just really good at computers.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
That's the world. What do you?
No, dude, we don't need like just a bunch of people who are really smart at computers and really
good. But you need basic knowledge, right?
Oh yeah. You need basic knowledge, but you're going to get that from anywhere. You know, we don't need, there's a big difference between somebody who's developed non-cognitive skills and somebody who is just really good at, because people who are good at computers, they're usually good at I'm speaking totally about myself and maybe other people can relate. I'm really good at computers because I'm really lazy and I don't like to do work. So I figured out how to get a computer to do it for me. That's not a good ethic going into the work environment. It took me a long time to break that habit.
I feel like work is work, dude.
No, dude. Like, there's so much more that goes into a job than just, like, how smart you are, dude. Showing up on time.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
having a good attitude.
Yeah,
like, those non-cognitive skills are 100% better than knowing how to do something, I feel. Like, yeah, you need to know how to do your job and be, like, decent at it and have some intellect, but it is impossible to work with people who are difficult in certain ways. People who, like, are not on time, or who are not, like, you know, like the non-cognitive skills. The people who, God, chat. I don't even want to look. I don't even want to look at chat right now.
Bobby, 200 IQ.
Yeah, God. But that's the thing, dude. The IQ is not...
DLG meetings are 200%. It's true, though. DLG meetings went from zero to... Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What's Red Rum got to say? Someone back me up here. Bob is right. Well, he called me Bob. I don't care for that, but let's see what he's got to say. I've been at companies where people that were hired were smart, but they were just lazy. Yep. There's a lot of really smart, lazy people out there, like myself.
But hours in at the computer are hours in, which is work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I'm saying. How many hours in are you putting in? You're putting the same in as somebody else doing janitorial work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting in... It takes me longer to do less, at least in my capacity. There are problems that I try to help somebody with through email or over the phone that I could fix in 5 minutes. But for me to explain it to them is very difficult because now they have to do it. And I've always, like, as someone who works in technical support, that's always been a big part of my philosophy is I'm not just fixing your problems. I'm trying to build capacity in a person. I'm trying to train you to support yourself.
Teach a man to fish.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. But a lot of people are very resistant towards that. So, you know, you have to approach everybody a little different.
Now, we didn't preface this at all when Sniper called in as Captain Save a Podcast the other day or whatever his name was. He kept talking about downloads. How do I download something? And it's because Bobby was complaining to during a meeting that he talks to people. Like, Sniper was like, how hard could it be? And Bobby's like, I talk to people that don't understand what downloading is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how hard that is.
Yeah. You know, here's a good example. I love, probably my favorite podcast ever right now is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Mm.
And because all podcasts have to do things remotely now, it's requiring people to use computers and be a little more tech savvy. Conan O'Brien is not a tech savvy person at all. But he has such an extensive knowledge. He went to Harvard, you know. He has such an extensive knowledge of just, like, American history, just, like, in, not even just, like.
He's a legitimate genius. I would call him a genius.
He's incredibly smart.
Yeah.
And that plays a lot into his comedy. He's so quick. He's very witty. And he's just, like, he's always got something to say right at the right moment. But he's also the best person I've ever seen interview. Like, he can interview, like anybody, and it can turn out incredible. I've seen him handle, like, bad interviews well. I've seen him handle good interviews well. I've seen him redirect, like, just the way he redirects a conversation or jumps in. Like, it's just amazing the way that he works. But he is horrible at computers. And I don't know. Like, if you talk to people who are really bad at computers, I guarantee you 100% they're really, really good at something else. Yeah. So
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, plus, you know, I mean, kind of in the apocalypse, are we even going to have computers, man? We're all going to have to learn how to, like, build houses and stuff.
It's true.
We're all going to have to be carpenters. Like, those are going to be the real the real smart people. Okay, anyway.
What was that? Where are we? What's going on? Is this a gaming podcast? That was good, though.
Yeah, yeah, and we've got two more bits of news here before we get to listener questions. Next one up is memorial statues honoring the soldier voice actor Rick May are put in TF2.
All throughout the month of May for Rick May. I thought that was kind of nice.
Okay, so it's just for May that they're going to be doing that.
Yeah. So they just put them in the standard TF2 maps. This also brought something up. So last week, didn't the source code for TF2 and... CSGO, somebody leaked them and it was all chaos. Yeah. I haven't heard any fallout about it.
Yeah. So, God, what was the main concern of that? I can't remember.
Hacks, I guess. I would imagine. But maybe maybe Steam quickly patched the hole where they needed to. I don't know. But anyway, I think this is really nice. You know, for some reason, the article always says complications from COVID. So I don't know exactly what that means. But either way, he's not with us anymore. He was one of the more, if not the most iconic voice, just because they used him so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a great job with the soldier, and who knows where they go from here onward. Like, do they get somebody that sounds just like them? Are they not recording stuff anymore? I don't know, but
I don't know how much TF2 content they're making, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll find somebody else. They always do. I remember when Phil Hartman died, and you know, they still had that character on The Simpsons, and it sounded just like him. I couldn't tell.
Is there a sound clip that we could play of the soldier? I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
There's some long lines, like Meet the Soldier. Maybe that's the best one. Man, I loved when they were doing the Meet the Whoever's.
Oh, in TF2, yeah.
Oh, dude, great. I love those.
All right, here we go. We've got some soldier sounds.
Come get some.
No.
What is this from?
Come get some.
I don't know. Some random dude, man.
Is this?
Come get some.
I forgot to put Team Flesh. Okay, soldier voice lines. Here we go.
Here we go.
Ready for that charge, Doc. Now that is what I want to see. This point is mine. Do you understand that? We have commandeered my point. This is my intelligence.
You know who does a great, gruff soldier voice? Mark Hamill. It's a little bit different than this. He's just
very good at fucking.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's an incredible voice actor. But he's got more of like that older, like grizzled war vet type of sound to it. But I'm sure he could do something similar to this.
You know what's, I mean, maybe I forgot that I knew this, but right. So between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, Mark Hamill got into a car accident, right? And he had facial scarring, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. The very first scene in Empire Strikes Back, he gets slashed across the face by that, like, the Yeti. Wampa. Yeah. And Sam's like, oh, that's how they explained the car accident, which I had just told her. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I never really even thought about it.
Yeah, well, the same thing with Harrison Ford in the Indiana Jones movies. In the third one, he's got, like, a mark on his chin.
Okay.
In the third one, they start with him as a young boy, and he accidentally, like, catches a whip in the chin. And, yeah, so that's why he has the mark there.
Gotcha.
Clever. All right. Last bit of news here. Evo 2020 is canceled due to COVID. I think we all saw that coming.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I put this up here is because the only esports I watch is Evo, which is the 2D fighting game tournament that they have in Las Vegas every year. And my question was, and this is what we were talking about a little while ago, Bobby, about why isn't this tournament online only? Anyway, I guess because they sell seats, right? And seats makes money.
Oh yeah, plus latency, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and cheating. So those are
cheating too. Yeah.
So those are the ones. So I guess hopefully I feel like they're scrambling to get this done, but they're going to try because it's usually in July. They're going to try to get the whole tournament online. We'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll be more enjoyable. Maybe it'll be less enjoyable. But we'll see. And this, I just wanted to talk. I brought this up as a bigger thing, as we already covered. How many companies will not go back to the way things were? And this might be one of them.
I don't think they ever do a tournament online, though. Like, just for latency purposes. Because the problem is, so Heroes of the Storm, when they had their, oh my God, I've forgotten what the name of
Heroes
that.
Heroes of the Storm? Or
no, they had.
Heroes of the Dorm?
No, not Heroes of the Dorm. They had the
it was like, your constant gameplay. It was your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Champions of the Storm?
It's probably good that I forgot about it, honestly.
Something with Champions, no?
It was the League. It was like Overwatch League, but for Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
But they had HGC. Thank you. Yeah. So in HGC, they had people playing against each other in wherever their areas were.
Oh, right.
So,
and then brought them together.
Yeah. And then on the big tournaments, you know, twice a year, then they would actually play locally. So what they had, what they ended up having is to, they had these rules in place. So like if a person doesn't connect, they have this amount of time before they're automatically excluded. And it happened from time to time. So not only do you have like a latency issue, which is a big problem with HGC, because whoever, like, I can't remember how they, the server. Yeah, whoever was closer to the server had a huge advantage. And the advantage always went to, I think, the person who was higher in the rankings. So once you got on top, it was a lot easier to stay on top. Because if you played, you know, if you were a West Coast team and you were playing an East Coast team on their server, it was a noticeable difference, especially in a game like Heroes of the Storm or any MOBA. You know, just like the slightest little delay can make a huge difference. So not only that, but you have problems with people disconnecting constantly. It always happened. And then you have to like go to the casters and they just try to scramble and kill time. So like, I don't think they ever put any like notable tournament online. I think that's, there's way too many problems for that.
I don't mean to laugh, Bobby, but Sniper says you not being able to remember that is your brain trying to protect itself from addiction.
Yeah, probably, man. That's what happens though, dude. Like when I lose interest in something, I kind of like drop a lot of, I like clear that's out.
Good. Yeah. Good. Reformat.
Yep. And I need to, man. It was taking up a lot of space. There's a lot of things I had memorized there.
A lot of space, dude. I'd be like, hey, Bobby, how's it going? And you'd be like, say something from that game. I'm like, what?
Be like, oh, who's soaking mid?
Yeah.
All right. All right. That is it for the news. I don't know. We're at 2 hours and 15 minutes. You want to do this next thing or get right to listener questions? I feel like we should get to listener questions.
Why?
All right.
Who cares?
We can do it.
Nobody's ever, not one person has ever said the podcast was too long.
Well, no one's ever told us that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We haven't heard from the silent majority who tune out. Mm. All right. So what we're going to do from time to time, you know, if we get some interesting iTunes reviews, I thought we'd read them on the podcast. So I went through some of our old reviews in iTunes and I picked out a couple here that I thought were amusing. So let me pick one here and we'll see if you guys think so. Here's a good one to start with. This one is from 2017. Okay. So, you know, don't, I'd like to think some things have changed. The review is called So Bad It's Great. All right. And he says, these guys are so unprofessional. This is a 5-star review, by the way. These guys are so unprofessional. Half the time they don't talk into the mic. They talk about vulgar things. They curse a lot. They are completely unorganized. Yet, it's the best dang podcast I've heard. I actually get giddy like a schoolboy every time I see a new episode pop up in my feed. Oh, and Chi is hot. That's all. I love it. Chad, Bobby, Emilio, Chi, I feel like they're family. Download this podcast now.
Is that somebody I would know?
That is from TV Chris.
Damn, no idea.
Yeah, that was from 2017.
That's a nice one.
I feel like we've improved in some areas. We talk to the mic a lot more. I don't know. I've cut down a lot on the cursing. I don't curse that much. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that.
Fuck off, dude.
I keep it PG-13 here. One F word per episode, and it can't be used to as a term for intercourse.
Oh, okay.
Strict PG-13 rules.
And definitely not. Every word in the sentence. So fuck the fucking fuckers.
Yeah.
Is not something we would say.
Well, that's just bad English.
Right.
Okay. Here's another one. This is from Deister in 2018. All right. It is titled Silly Podcast Occasionally Talk About Games Sometimes Drunk. 5 stars.
Yeah.
This is a fun podcast. I enjoy it. Okay. This guy is not, I don't think English is his first language, okay. So forgive some of the grammatical.
But somehow we come across.
He gets it. He gets it, dude. This is a fun podcast. I enjoy the talk. Sometimes it's a bit ribald, but mostly tame. They seem to know their stuff. I don't know how they can do this podcast, game, and have time for work and life. Keep up the good work. Okay?
Dude, like I was brought it up last meeting that we had, We got to bring up the ribble.
The ribbled.
Yeah, a whole lot.
This reminds me of that SNL skit from the 80s with John John Lovitz,
yeah.
Tales of Ribaldry. Did you ever see that one? Oh my God, it's such a good sketch. Look it up when you have a moment. It's got Mel Gibson was hosting on that episode, Tales of Ribaldry. If you don't know what ribaldry is or ribald, it's like talking to like kind of vulgar about sex and stuff.
Oh, okay.
it's not a word you hear very often.
I don't think John Lovitz has ever made me laugh once.
Really?
Yeah.
I
hate him.
Dude, in The Wedding Singer, like that bit he had in there. All right. So those are the two that I picked out. Maybe we'll find some more if I keep digging through them. Or, hey, if you guys leave some and they're entertaining, we might read them if we have the time.
That's what we're trying to get to. That was a long way of saying, leave us a review, a funny one, and we'll read it online. Make sure it's 5 stars or you can fuck right off.
Yeah. I think we have almost all 5 stars. I think there's like 1 4-star.
There what? Well, now there is no, there we, still?
There's still like a 4-star one out
that
there.
That son of a bitch. dude, on
we need to find this guy. We need to get some answers.
No, on Junk Monkey, dude, when for my junk hauling business, I had this lady. She was like, Emilio couldn't have been better. On time, prompt, and reasonable prices. 4 stars. So I think like once you get into hundreds, there's just room for error. Like they just hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
I think I got to pee again.
Okay.
This is when Bobby says I can get shit faced and I'm a little behind the curb. So I'm going to have a shot. I'll be right back.
All right. Things are about to get exciting here. So we're about to dip into listener questions here. Let me see if there's one that I can answer without Emilio. Very, very well might be. Okay, let's start with this one. So from Warconius, he asks, do you have any recommendations for the Golden Week sale? Right now, Steam is having a sale, the Golden Week sale, and quite a few games are a lot cheaper. I would highly recommend, I talked about this earlier, but I would highly recommend Deep Sky Derelicts, the game I talked about forever earlier in the show. That game for $6.79 is an outstanding deal. Like that's, can't pass that one up, especially considering that you're going to get like at least 20 hours of gameplay if you're going to see it all the way through. Like that's a great deal. There were a few other ones there. You know, whenever this happens, Steam will send you an email saying, hey, these are on sale from your wish list. Check them out. And I always look at them just to see what's on sale and how much they've gone down. One of those games that is especially cheap right now is Caribbean Sail. I'm not sure, but it is $2.99 right now. Very, very cheap. This game is ordinarily $12. It usually goes on sale for half that, like $6. It is now only $3. This is a game that's kind of copying Oregon Trail. Let's see, a whimsical 8-bit adventure about sailing the world in the 1700s, developed by one nautical enthusiast. So Oregon Trail, but in the 1700s and at sea. It's been something that I've had my eye on for quite a long time. If you look at the screenshots, looks very much like it. $3. Yeah. Time to buy that one. All right, now that Emilio's back, let's see if he's got some answers. So Steam's having their Golden Week sale right now. It is, let's see, I'm not sure when it's lasting till, but any recommendations for games that are on sale?
Well, I guess if you like tactical shooters, Squad is up there. That's been a game that, like I said last week, that people have always kind of gravitated to. What else is on sale, dude?
Almost everything. It's almost like a site-wide sale. I'd say out of like the 20 things on my wish list, about half of them are on sale. You know, of course, the usual ones, games that are really new, are not on sale. But
let's look at the top selling ones. There we go.
Jedi Fallen Order, $35.99.
Would you recommend that, Bobby? For $36?
Well, can't you just get it for a lot cheaper if you get the Origin Game Pass?
I think you need the premium, which is $100 per year.
Okay, but you can pay by month, though. So you could pay for 1 month of that. I mean, right. If you really wanted to, if you want it in your Steam library, yeah. $35.99, that's the cheapest it's ever been, so probably a good time to pick that up.
Borderlands 3 for $30, I wouldn't say it is a must-buy because $30 is kind of a lot of money, but somebody asked me the other day compare Borderlands 3 to Borderlands 2. Story-wise, Borderlands 2 is 100% better. Mm-hmm. Mechanically and everything else, bells and whistles, Borderlands 3 is way better. UI is still fucking complete dog shit, though.
Okay. So it looks like the sale is going to be happening through May 6th. You got a little bit more time.
Ooh, and why is Tabletop Simulator so high on the, even though it's not on sale, dude?
Like, it's not on sale, but people are still buying that game.
Yeah.
Because it's like, great. It's a necessity.
I feel like something happened, though. Like maybe a new mod came out there that was popular, you know?
It's possible. Yeah. You know, I will say this. There is a Star Wars bundle that you can pick up. They usually have it on sale for May the 4th be with you. That sounds weird to me. But May the 4th be with you. Sounds like I have a lisp. But anyway, Steam always puts this bundle of Star Wars games on sale. Right now it is $35.99. And what
No. You're reading that
one. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's over $100 still.
The Jedi Knight.
No, they keep going down,
Classic
dude.
Collection.
I know what you're talking about. Or click on any one of these, and there should be the Jedi, the Star Wars bundle.
So, like, every Star Wars game is on sale right now, but they used to have a bundle that just had all of
it. It's right there. Complete collection. Yeah.
They would sell it for $100 back in the day, but this is before a lot of Star Wars games were on Steam, and that's when I bought it, but there's even more now. So $76.86, and you're getting almost $300 worth of games. There's going to be a lot of old stuff in here. You got all the old Jedi Knight games. You got all the Star Wars Lego games, all the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, Rebellions on there. You know, just like everything Star Wars. So,
I really feel like if they would have put the newest game on here and added $20 to the price, they would have sold a lot more of these.
Yeah, it is a lot of the older Star Wars games. Or you can just buy the separate bundles. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's like the Lego bundle or whatever.
Force Unleashed. Okay, let's get to some other questions here. We've got a couple from Prosaro here. He says, number one, have you guys ever created any mods for games before?
I would say the closest thing that's I've ever got to that was I made a video on how to mod Skyrim back when before there was an installer that made it easier than shit. And not that it was difficult, but I just had some like recommended videos recommended mods and the order of operation, because I remember you had to get the scripted extender in there before certain ones. But anyway, Bobby, I think, helped me out with that. I think you did some editing on that. Can we find that video, Bobby? Is that?
It might be saved on our Google Drive.
No, I think it's on YouTube.
I don't think so. Not since we made the new YouTube channel.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, these Star Wars pinball games are on sale.
Yeah, I was thinking about picking those up, dude.
Dude, they're so good. I was just playing one earlier today, and it was so much fun, man. The Return of the Jedi one, so good.
Nice.
But as far as modding goes, I have Star Wars, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight. I was so into that game back in the late 90s that I worked on a mod or two, and I also made some levels for that. And one of my biggest regrets with that game was I never finished the last level I was working on. It was an aquarium, and it was the third level that I had done. I had made two before, and like they did reasonably well. They did all right. They weren't super popular, but my third one, I really
Magnum Opus.
Yeah, sort of. Like
within the game,
I had learned how to do like a lot of cool things from working on the other levels, and also I learned a lot of stuff watching people play my level. I learned a lot of you've got to put, you know, a high value item in a hard to get spot or a heavily compromised spot. So if somebody's going to try to get, you know, the cannon, I can't remember not the ion cannon, but the best weapon you can get, it's got to be in an area where someone's going to take a big risk. Also, a lot of secrets, walls that you can actually jump through, but it doesn't look like you can. So I had a ton of secrets. People love that in those levels. I learned how to make staircases spiral. Like I did all this stuff, and I was going to make this level on an aquarium. The level was an aquarium, and it had like water and these big fish that would attack you. Yeah, it was great. And I wish I would have finished it.
Now, Bobby, you lost that. That's gone, right?
Yeah. But I think I can still find the levels that I did make and maybe even some of the mods that I did. My mods weren't great. Like, I took textures and I recolored them. So I'd make, like, Boba Fett look different colors or the
beginner one, stuff.
Yeah. The few unique things that I did was, I made a black lightsaber. This is like back in 98, guys. So this was like a big deal. So I was like, that's cool. And also a Space Ghost skin that I was especially proud of. But I was able to do that just by retexturing a lot of, or recoloring a lot of stuff and like moving different textures from one character to another model. And, you know, it didn't really require me to be too artistic. So I was able to work around my, my shortcomings there, but I'm going to see if I can dig that up. And maybe for May the 4th, when is that, tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. So, yeah, I think I have most of the day free. Maybe I'll stream some of that if I can find my old mods or,
that'd be cool, man.
Yeah. That'd be something to stream.
So, Chad, tried to make a level 4 Counter-Strike, and I remember he couldn't figure out how to make skyboxes work. So he's like, oh, I'll just make an enclosed level. So he made a submarine, which end up having more positives than if he would have had something with a sky, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there was a crazy ventilation system where you could come up behind people all over the place. This counter terrorist had to the terrorists had to knife their way out of boxes at the very beginning because they came in on the cargo. I remember that, but he never finished it either. Yeah, I thought it was, from what he had seen, what I saw, it looked good.
Level design is fun. It's very rewarding, too, to watch people play through your level and to see what they do. I can't imagine what game design is like, but I remember having a lot of fun designing levels. Okay, next question from Prosaro. He says, if you formed a game development studio, what would it be called?
DLG Productions.
Oh, so we're forming a game studio together. I don't know. I couldn't think of a clever name.
Oh, fuck off. You didn't. He already fired me from this, hypothetical situation. I'm not a part of it.
Well, I'm going to say some development studios whose names I really like. First, Red Barrels. I feel like that's just such an iconic imagery in gaming.
Yeah.
I think they made
the Splash Outlast. Damage came up today.
Splash Damage is cool.
Yeah.
When I can't remember if it was when I was talking to Soren from Deep Rock Galactic Ghost Ship Games or if it was something I had seen him say on another stream or something, but he was talking about how I don't think it was from the interview, but he was talking about how game names or developer names, like they always just seem to be random stuff thrown right together. It was on the stream during one of their big updates because a question they had was, where did you come up with Ghost Ship Games? And he said, we just threw random stuff together until we found something that seemed cool. Huh. And he said, that's all like, that's all it is. Like all the developers out there are just like, you know, two nouns thrown together.
Yeah.
And
I really wish that we would have done that. I really don't like Digital Logic.
Yeah. We could have definitely come up with a better name.
So when we talked to the Powerhoof guys from, Totally Human Basketball? Did we talk to them?
I don't think so. I didn't.
Somehow I heard how they named their I was like, Powerhoof, how'd you name it? And he said when they worked together in their office, they asked their boss if they could put their desks in a U shape. And the boss asked why. And one of them randomly said, oh, it's a Powerhoof. It's known as like a good way to get work done. Otherwise, but really they just wanted to land after hours. But yeah, it came Power Hoof. I love that one.
Power Hoof. Making that horseshoe out of desks.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. We've got another question here. Cyberpunk 2077 is of course just a game, but do you see our world one day ending up like the one it presents? And if so, what do you think about that? I think we're pretty far away from that.
We're not going to live to Cyberpunk Day, but will it get there after you? Especially with this pandemic, the outcome is so uncertain now. Let's say the pandemic or pandemics weren't a thing and we just kept going the way we're going. Yeah, I would say it's pretty likely because the way it's going, corporations are getting stronger and stronger. The average person's getting smaller and smaller. So there would be some sort of dystopian future, I feel like. Unless we all move to Canada, which it's all rainbows.
No, I think he's, I don't know, he lists some examples here. Digital implants, replacing your limbs with machines, having a neon eyeball.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get there someday. You know, when I watch movies and I guess games as well, when I play those and they're set in the future, I always feel like they're overreaching a little bit. Like there's always a little bit of fantasy mixed into it.
That's their job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they don't want to be completely realistic. Like this is what the future is gonna look like. You know, if you asked me 20 years ago what's 2020 gonna look like, I mean, some things would have blown my mind, like cell phones and everything you can do with those. But for the most part, it's not that different. And there are a few. I can only think of movies right now that kind of impressed me with their subdued take on the future. Like they didn't just go overboard and be like flying cars and everything's neon. Right. And you know, they're a little more subdued.
And those being.
One was, and I have to watch this movie again to see if I still agree with
downsizing.
This, but no, iRobot. iRobot with Will Smith had nothing to do, except for the laws of robot, had nothing to do with the Isaac Asimov book. But
yeah.
I've got to watch that one again. But I feel like that one, I think it takes place in 2035.
I also feel like the cars didn't fly.
They didn't fly, but they were automated. They were self-driving. That was a big part of the story because he didn't trust them. So he had his own motorcycle that ran on gasoline. And a big part of the story was that the car made the decision, or a robot made a decision to save one person where the likelihood was higher and let another person
go. Which brings up all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like how do you automate those decisions? And the other movie is Her. 2013,
nailed it, dude.
Joaquin Phoenix. Yes. And that one is, it's set in the future, but it doesn't focus on the style, like the superficial style. It's more about how people are interacting with each other and that human to human contact. And if you haven't seen Her, that is an incredible movie.
Yeah. Right? I think it's underrated, even though people bring it up. It didn't get its just due. Joaquin Phoenix is even better than what people say. Well, now people know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's just an incredible movie.
Joker
and one
sucks,
that I need to...
If you ask Bobby.
I didn't say it sucked. Let's not get into that. That's going to be a whew. Could do another 30 minutes on that. someone put Demolition Man in chat.
But
I do love a good sci-fi movie or game that's just like, let's just get wild, dude.
Yeah,
like, let's just get crazy. Like Johnny Mnemonic, okay. A dolphin electrocutes Dolph Lundgren. Like, okay, all right.
Dude, if you read any Orson Scott Card about the future, that shit is so... He's talking about 200,000 years in the future, 300,000 years in the future. And he's so inventive and imaginative, but that's what you want out of your
authors. It's kind of crazy how like the fiction will dictate the what actually happens.
Right, I feel like they feed into each other, right?
Because mm-hmm.
like,
that's cyclical.
An author looks into what the science is, where it's possibly going to go. Eventually, maybe it goes that direction, and then it all feeds into itself. Cyclical, like you said. Bobby, have you read much of Orson Scott Card?
I've only read Ender's Game.
Okay. So there's like a series after that, and there's a split off series from there too.
Yeah, he wrote quite a few books.
Yeah. So the Ender's series, I think there's two more or three more.
But yeah, I think really, it's a trilogy.
Do you remember a character named Bean that was smarter than Ender? Mm-hmm. So he has his, that was almost like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has his own spinoff that goes further than the other one.
Well, what I really liked about Ender's Game, and I heard they got into more of this in the other books, is the way that they play with time. Because time doesn't, it works differently in space.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, the way time passes. And so he really played a lot with that, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Because that's just we made this realization, like, you know, with Einstein and theory of relativity, like we have always, time has always been like the thing that we measure things by. What if we didn't measure things by time? What if that wasn't the constant, you know?
So
crazy stuff.
Ender gets to wherever. He kind of becomes like a monk of some sort because, you know, he caused genocide. So, or xenocide, which is an eradication of a species. So he never wanted to do violence ever again. He takes off far, far away. But at some point, like you said, he talks in real time with his brother. mm-hmm. who is now like 85 years old, even though he's only like 30, 25, yeah. something like that.
Yeah,
because he's been traveling. Yeah. yeah. And his brother never left. But his brother subsequently became the leader of the world.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But I think what good sci-fi does in a game or a movie is it's a commentary on what's going on now. So I think a lot of people get caught up in the superficial side of it, how things look and, you know, what cool gadgets they have. But I think the real value in sci-fi, what makes it really relatable, is when, you know, you see things in the future and you see how good things could be or how far or how bad things could be. And you see the relation to the present.
Well, one of the best ones of exactly what you're talking about and the question is Black Mirror. Black Mirror mm-hmm. nails it every one. Well, every
yeah,
time,
there's always a message in there. Yeah.
They're not only that, but it's only just a skip away. Like mm-hmm. you could totally see this within 10 years, whatever yeah, it is.
It's not set too far in the
future. Too far in the future. Yeah. And you have yet to see them all, huh, Bobby?
I watched the first couple episodes in season 3, but I think that's all I've watched. Yeah.
Definitely watch those with your girl. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're good. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yep. All right. Next question from Girotrom. Are you guys interested in or currently playing Gears Tactics? Also, have you played any of the other Gears series?
See above. yeah. I don't know if I mentioned it, but this is a prequel. It happens like 14 years before Gears 1, and it happens on another planet, I think. Yeah. I didn't know any of this. I don't know anything about Gears, mm-hmm. but I guess we were on another planet, kind of like terraforming or like looking into it, and then these monsters pop out of the ground, and somehow they got back to Earth maybe when they were running. So that's what I'm playing now.
Okay.
Wherever the aliens came from.
So we played Gears 5. Four. We played the co-op mode maybe halfway through the game, and we had a pretty good time. Like I thought it was okay. It seemed a little console-ish, but it was pretty good. That's the only Gears I've ever played.
Gears 5 is on Game Pass right mm-hmm. now as well.
For PC.
Right. I don't know if it's good. Whatever. Yeah. If you want to...
But you know, that was a console-only game for the longest time, so yeah. I really didn't play any of the other ones.
Just like me and Halo, I've never played a Halo game.
But I always mark that as kind of being, maybe it's not, but in my mind, Gears of War was always the beginning of the cover shooter. That was the big thing. Yeah. You hide behind, you know, waist-high rubble and just wait for yourself to heal back up, and then you're back out there again.
Fast. And
then the chainsaw
picking up your bros, too. I feel like they were big on that. Like mm-hmm. picking up your co-op buddy. Fast forward 15 years later, when you walk into a room in any game and you see a bunch of waist-high stuff, you're like, oh,
yeah,
shit's about to go down.
Yeah, you can kind of see that coming, as well as boss fights, too.
Oh, the Expanse. I've tried to get into it, and I keep trying. Like, my problem is I don't watch them in a row. I watch them, like, one... And then wait a month, and then I watch two, and then wait a month and watch three. That's not how you're... I forget everything in between. But I will say that when Neil deGrasse Tyson was asked what show or movie like did science the best, he always says The Expanse. And I've also heard another astrophysicist say that as well. So the science is correct on The Expanse. Bobby, have you heard of it much?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. A lot of people talking about The Expanse.
You haven't watched it, huh?
No. I don't watch a lot of TV, man.
So there's three factions. There's the Martians, the Earth, or just like whoever came from Earth. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Belters, which is, I believe they live on the belt around Mars, and they mine it. And there's almost another race completely, because the Belters never had gravity. So
These are indigenous people to the belt of Mars.
Now they are.
So they're not humans that just live there.
No, they are humans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're humans that have now adapted so much that they look like a different race or a different species. They have super long limbs, and anytime they're in regular gravity, it hurts them very much because they're like brittle and fragile because they're not used to gravity. Mm-hmm. And everybody says the science like legit on that. It's crazy. They're interrogating the guy, and all they did was put him in regular gravity, and he was just like, "Fucking leave me alone. I'll tell you whatever you want." Yeah.
Okay. You know what I did watch last summer was The Martian Chronicles, 1980. I'm going to see if I can find a little music here, because the music from this was wild. That's not it. Okay. It's got Rock Hudson. It is out there. It is like super low production, and it's just, it's pretty entertaining to watch. Okay. I need to find the credits, because it is like, 1980 has the most interesting music to me, because it was like right as we were coming out of disco. So there's still heavy traces of disco, but it's also just ever so slightly modern. I don't know. I'm sorry, that didn't play as well as I thought it would, because I thought I had the right music queued up.
No, it's okay. But I do want to talk about music throughout the ages, Bobby, because I've heard people say that largely music has been dictated by the drug of use at the time. So like in the 60s and 70s, we had a lot of like psychedelics and LSD and stuff like that. So you get a lot of trippy, crazy like chords and stuff. And then into the 80s, we get into cocaine. So we get into the synthy, more upbeat vibes, and get away from the like, wow, more like trippy stuff. And then you get into the modern age where there's all kinds of drugs. So there's all kinds of music.
I don't know. I don't know if I would relate it directly, because there's all kinds of music now, because everything's niche, you know, like everybody can make whatever type of music they want.
Right. And people are doing all kinds of drugs all over the place.
I don't know if it's completely related to that. I read this book not too long ago, a couple months ago, called 1965, The Most Revolutionary Year in Music. And I'm not really into music, but it was a very interesting book, like incredibly interesting. Like all modern music came like that year, like things just exploded. Everything was happening at that time. Like all the people that would then influence music coming after it. But you got to understand, like,
and they don't talk about LSD or mushrooms.
No, of course they talk about it. I mean, that was a huge part of it.
Well, because the most likely people to do these drugs are artists.
Well, yeah, but you got to also understand there was no music industry. Like, you know, in the 40s or so, there was
In the 50s, right?
Yeah, kind of in the 50s. And then there was the sexual revolution and a lot of other things happened. And music used to be much more of a bigger deal back then, too. Like, this is what was almost at the forefront of just like this revolution of people and, you know, the hippies and everything like that. But everything after that almost seems like fallout from that and kind of, derived or iterations of what happened.
Absolutely.
In the 60s. But
because of the drugs, dude.
I mean, they played a part in it, but I don't think like, oh, well, people do a bunch of cocaine in the 80s. So now they like synth music. Like, first of all, I don't think synth music sounds great on cocaine. Like, and second of all.
Well, okay. Would you say that people were more creative in the 60s and, you know, psychedelics make you look at things from a different perspective?
I mean, I think you can tie it to like when people, they've said like, you know, jazz players, when they smoke marijuana, they improvise a little bit better, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it can definitely help creativity, but I don't think drugs are dictating the style of music.
Sniper says, you cannot convince me that dubstep does not come from MDMA. Wow, 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 wow.
Dubstep comes from aliens. We had a donation here that we missed. Cricket Soldier donated $10.
Hey, buddy.
He says, everybody look at Bobby's beard. Yeah, it's getting
long. Oh, yeah, it's true.
And it's gray. Yeah, the years have not been kind. Next question from Hingle McCringleberry.
If you ask me to read that, I cannot. His name? I can't do it. Hingle.
We've talked about this before. Yeah. That's from the Key and Peele sketch.
I have a problem with it.
If you were a character in a game, what would be your character's trait or mechanic? For example, here's one for Emilio. Trait is insidious. Each kill gives one seed. After 10 seeds, Emilio can throw a bottle for damage on impact, followed by 5 seconds additional damage.
I like it. I like it. It's pretty good. Definitely my character trait would be not giving a fuck. And like, I would start with like 5 fucks, right? And then every time I get hit, I lose a fuck. And then at a certain point, I don't give any fucks. And then I get super strong at that point. But like, yeah, it would be something like that with like fucks given and how deeply they are buried somewhere. Yeah. That's what I'm going to go with. As far as Insidious, that's my hot sauce company, guys. Try out my hot sauce. It's fucking really good. Go to insidious.com, I think.
Mm-hmm. You don't know your own website?
I don't know, man. I'm starting to get drunk. And you can order it there. Use the promo code DLG and you'll get 10% off your entire order. Yeah, try it out. It's really good. It's unlike anything else out there.
Oh man, I don't know. I've never really thought of myself as a video game character.
I'm gonna have to say, we should have done each other. Is what we should have done.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, get a
Bobby would be some sort of like analytical sniper shot, like finding the weakness through calculation. And then targeting in and then hitting that one thing, whatever that is. So it's like right knee. Everybody target the right knee. That'd be Bobby.
They usually have that skill in games where you do some sort of scan to figure out what the weakness is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'll take that. Okay. He also has another question. How do you like your eggs, fried or fertilized?
scrambled is my favorite.
Yeah, usually scrambled.
Yeah.
Scrambled. I used to like the sunny side up when I was a kid, but now that I'm older, I don't really like eggs, actually. I actually try to avoid it if I can. Not a big fan, but scrambled, yeah. Nice omelet is good every now and then.
Insidious with the word seed in it. I forgot to say that. But yeah, eggs are fantastic. Oh, I'm not trying to like feed one into the other. Insidious, one of the best things it's on is rice, and the other one is eggs. Those are the two favorites.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yep.
Let's see. Papa Bear Don't Care says, do you feel like 4-core CPUs are about to be obsolete with the release of new consoles?
I don't even know what this means, Bobby.
So quad cores? I don't know. I haven't looked into hardware in a while because I'm not upgrading. So why? And I was under the assumption that we kind of hit a limit with quad cores. I know AMD has CPUs with more cores in it, but I don't really know if that gains a lot of performance, especially when it comes to gaming, which is usually like a single thread application.
Hey, get out.
Oh, surprise guest spot from Jocko the Dog.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't think... You know, back in the day, like, they were trying to get the megahertz and the gigahertz higher and higher. Yeah. You know, how fast can you get it to run? And they would get faster and faster and faster. And then finally, we had dual-core CPUs and then quad-cores. And we've been at quad-cores for a very long time. I really don't know, like, where they are on the front of CPUs. Like, what's the next big thing that we're pushing and we need to conquer? I used to be a lot more into that.
I liked it better when you did now.
Yeah. It's a lot of useless information, though. Like, it's useful for a short period of time,
right.
and then it's completely useless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like any upgrade or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know. Basically, like, whenever I'm ready for an upgrade, I do the research.
Duck,
like,
right. Can you answer this question, if you're still around? And let's move on to the next one.
Well, let's see. Recycled says, I've heard they won't really use 16 threads. It's special mode for number crunching, but games will probably just use 8 for higher clocks. All right. So, yeah, I don't know. And I don't think consoles, like, when did consoles start bossing us around? Like, when are consoles dictating, like gaming PCs?
It was the other way around for a while, right?
Yeah. I mean, these new consoles coming out are going to be really fast, and they're going to have great hardware. But the best thing about a console is you can design a game that will run on that console, and you don't have to worry about, oh, this person's got this graphics card installed, or is using this type of RAM, or is running this resolution. You know, you don't really have to worry about all the different variables. You just design for that console, and that's a lot easier.
This is pretty good. Interview the dog. So how does the gardener taste? Sniper says, the gardener is much tastier with Insidious. Ask Jocko. Probably. Last question.
That's it. No, we already did the last question. That was what we started with.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's the episode. What are you playing next week?
Hypercharged Unboxed.
Hypercharged Unboxed.
Yeah, I started playing it. I mean, I'm saying under 10 minutes. I went through the tutorial. It seems to be a wave survival game. It does look exactly like what the graphic, I mean, if you look it up, that's what it is. It's Toy Story, the game, basically, with guns. I'm liking it so far. I mean, really little bit that I saw. I really like the way you name your character. You can't name it whatever you want. It's a mix of four different slots. It's almost like going to Wu-Tang Clan name generator, which is where Childish Gambino got his name. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Yeah, probably from me.
Back when Chad was on the podcast, we did a bit where we all had our different Wu-Tang names.
Yeah, that's true. I believe I was Ghost. I don't know. I don't remember.
I was the Arrogant Menace.
Boom. Yeah. Ooh, which that's is actually so
pretty
good. Good.
It's pretty good.
I like it. Anyway, so yeah, you can't name your guy, so you're pretty much right out of the box. An action figure. I believe there's classes, but I can't confirm that yet. It looks great. It feels pretty good. I feel like this might be a good game night for like four people. It's a four player wave survival. When I was watching this, I thought it was more of a multiplayer deathmatch, which it does support. But how many people are playing this right now, Bobby?
Last time we checked, it was 500 people playing right now.
Oh, okay. DL Gaming Bump. See what I'm talking about? Right there. Boom. But anyway, I was unable on my one attempt to find a multiplayer game. So maybe I was doing something wrong. But yeah. And you have this card mechanic where you can pick up different types of... I guess it's almost a tower defense as well, Bobby. Because like... You can build towers, build traps for the
robots. Yeah, traps, turrets.
Yep. So it has a lot going on, but I can't speak too much on it, other than it looks great and the presentation's great, and which is, I bought it for $15. I think that sale's going to be up really quick. So we'll see.
All right. I am dead serious about getting into Pulsar Lost Colony this week. I want to make that happen. I know some people in chat said they were on board. I'll go at it alone if I have to, but I really want to. I want to check out that game.
Let's do it.
Cool.
All right. Speaking for Bobby and myself, motherfucking titties. Bye. Jerko. Last chance to get some background. Come here. Come. Look at the camera.